This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Watch this week. My name is Mike.
You forgot what episode number it was.
Okay, last week I said episode 134, yep. Right? And then you posted it, and it said episode 133.
Yep.
Why is it off by one?
Well, there was a problem. By the way, I'm John. There was a problem, and I sent this message to Martin. Basically, there was 1 week, remember, where I posted two episodes on the same day.
Oh.
The system didn't like that. So It posted one of them as episode 121 and one of them as episode 121.
Oh.
It was all this gibberish. And so since then, it's been off by one.
So is he going to correct it?
He said that he is working on it. He knows that there's an issue and that he has to go in and renumber the things. But he's basically busy. You know, it's not a nuclear fallout kind of thing.
I got the same thing going on over at the Wrestling Insomniac.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you see, the Wrestling Insomniac is
Formerly
known as Podcast of a Thousand Holes. Formerly known as Off the Ropes.
Formerly.
No, that's it.
Oh, okay.
And so when we started with Podcast of a Thousand Holes, we started episode zero, then one, and we've gone up through. And so on the Nerdy Legion website, it shows, like, I'm up to episode, like, 81 or 82. But when I changed the name to the Wrestling Insomniac, I retconned, just like comic books, I retconned all the way back to Off the Ropes, because that was the first wrestling podcast on the Nerdy Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually up to like episode 125 or something. But when he posted, it shows like 81. So I need to get him to renumber that as well.
Gotcha.
So
yeah, it's off by one. Okay. So this is episode 135. And when I make the post, I continue to say, you know, like,
I saw that,
episode 135 is up. Here's the link that says 134.
So. Tremendous.
That's right.
So it is Thursday, November the 15th. And we're talking about shows and stuff we watched in the last couple of weeks.
Well,
maybe not this
really.
Week.
It's been like a week.
Week. I don't know.
Yeah.
My work schedule's weird, as we everybody might know and or not know. I don't care. But so we're going to talk about shows in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
Recent past. Not past.
One thing I want to touch base on real quick this morning, right now, is that this morning I purchased tickets to go see Weird Al Yankovic next July in New Hampshire. So that's fun.
I'll be going to that as well.
This will be our third time.
And this one's going to be good because this is the Strings Attached tour.
Yes.
Where he is using a local orchestra for every one of his shows.
Yep.
He will have full orchestral accompaniment. The suit changes. This is
the big screen in the background, he said, plus backup singers.
Yes.
For the first time. And it's the girls he uses in his studio recording.
Yep. This is coming off the
Vanity Tour, yeah. Yeah,
the ill-advised, you really shouldn't do this tour, where he did nothing but like unknown tracks and had no accompaniments. It was stripped down, bare bones. Now he's over the top.
He didn't do any parody songs. He just did original tribute songs, which some of those are very good.
Yes, yes. But everyone who sees Weird Al wants to see the parody songs.
Yes.
So this is good because now he's going back over the top. And
yes.
I definitely want to see this
one. It's kind of crazy because the first time we saw him at the State Theater in Portland a few years ago, we had front row dead center. It was amazing.
Because they messed the seats up.
Yes, they messed up the numbering of the seats.
Seat one and two, or we got seats two and three, but it was supposed to be those were the outside.
Yes.
And it went, you know, outside so that the middle was like seat 15. But for some reason, that one row, they had flipped around all the chairs.
Yes.
So when we went to sit down, one was on the very edge in the aisle, you know, right in dead center, and then two, three.
Yeah.
We're like, okay.
Works for me. And then we saw him a couple of years later at the Main State Pier, where we just had standing room.
Which... I wouldn't do that again.
Either would I. I mean, they were $25.
Yes.
It wasn't a bad experience as far as concert-wise.
Oh, yeah.
It was just people-wise.
Right. People-wise.
Because
standing room only, they crowd you, they step in front of you.
He played some old songs.
Mm-hmm.
that, like, maybe not the complete songs, but he did this big, like, 20-minute melody of his old songs, mm-hmm. and he just did, like, a couple minutes of each, and he even did another one, Rides the Bus, was just him and his banjo, not ukulele, accordion. It was awesome. It was awesome.
I was getting the full hand gestures over here of accordion.
Yeah. I never thought I'd see another one, Rides the Bus, live, so that was exciting for me. And then now here we are going to New Hampshire this time.
Because it's closest he's coming.
Yep. We got third and fourth row.
Yep. So I got, because there's six of us going.
Yep. And you can pick your own seats. So I got third row and fourth row. This is going to be awesome. And because I'm a good dad and I'm doing it right. I don't want him to hear me right now. I'm taking my son, who turns 13 in January, to this show for his first ever concert experience. I wish that would happen for me when I was his age. My parents were lame and they liked alcohol and not Weird Al.
Mm. Different kind of Al. Cahal.
Al. Cahal. Sad childhood. Anyways, let's talk about shows and stuff.
Yeah, shows and stuff. I'll tell you right now,
yeah.
I have the regular run of shows. I had a lot of news and trailers this week.
I don't have as many trailers, but I have a bunch of news.
Good.
Yeah. Because we don't need to go deep diving into stuff.
No.
So I finished Daredevil. And I don't know if we talked about this last time.
No, we did not.
But I did finish Daredevil. And I got to say, this was the best season of Daredevil, I think.
I loved Bullseye as a character.
Bullseye, and which they never called him that, but it's him.
Yep.
I mean, they have the little PS at the end.
Right, with the eyes.
Yes.
And the,
this was a great character building of Fisk.
Yes. So you saw the last time when we had talked, I told you that you were in for a treat with the last episode.
Yes.
And the fight scene where the fight was going on in the background.
Yes.
And it was when Fisk grabbed his wife and he pulled her off the side and he's like, okay, you need to get out of here.
Yes. Blah, blah, blah.
And you could still hear them fighting in the background. And then suddenly they launched through the window and picked right back up.
Fantastic.
That was great.
Yeah. And they did one of those awesome, and I know we talked about it before, but like, again, they had this season one of those awesome one take, at least it looks to be one continuous take fight scenes,
mm-hmm.
but it was in like the hallway, back in the operating room, back out in the hallway. I mean, it was pretty stupendous.
That fight scene, though, between Daredevil, Bullseye, and Fisk.
Yes,
you know,
at the end.
Playing to the strengths of each one of them. So you had Daredevil, who is the bare knuckles. Well, he had the gloves on.
He had the Muay Thai.
Yeah. You know, so you've got him with all of the punching and kicking. Fisk with just the absolute overpowering strength.
Yep.
You know, picking him up and throwing. When he punched at Daredevil and Daredevil ducked, and he actually, like, shattered the bricks behind him. Like, left a hole in the bricks. It's like...
But then he sold that his hand hurt.
Right.
You know what I mean? He wasn't impervious. It hurt his hand, which was good. But
how would your hand feel if you just put a hole in
bricks? I would have broken my hand.
Yeah. But then you have Bullseye, who is the more methodical, and, you know, he sees the chandelier, and he throws, and turning everything into a weapon.
Yes.
It was just great. And then Daredevil, of course, you know, jumping in the way to deflect, to keep Fisk's wife safe,
yes.
and then Fisk picking him up and slamming him, and...
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing you had to see is, like, Daredevil was still trying to protect Fisk's wife, because even though she wasn't really an innocent, she wasn't innocent.
Right.
Fisk breaking Bullseye's back.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Well, he's done now.
Yeah. Until you see the PS.
You see the PS button.
And they're like, we think we can fix him.
But I honestly think the biggest tragedy of this entire season was the unfortunate death of Julie Barnes. You know, she's just a hardworking girl who, you know, unfortunately, Bullseye has a thing for her and loves her and stalks her.
Yeah.
And Fisk knows that and he hires her to work at the hotel.
Yep.
And the distraction works. But unfortunately, now Fisk wants to be as close to Bullseye as she was. So he just has her murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. She comes home. Oh, the supernova, you're here. Boom. Bullet to the head.
Yeah.
Like, legit. The biggest tragedy of this whole season was the unfortunate death of Julie Barnes.
I agree.
Just
caught in the crossfire.
Innocent woman, wrong place, wrong time.
Well, mixed up with the wrong people, basically.
But not really, because she was an innocent. She literally was pulled into this world.
She knew who hired her, though. She knew that Fisk hired her.
Did she really?
Yes, she did.
I don't know that.
I'm pretty sure that her and Bullseye had a conversation about that where he said, you know, he hired you to work at the thing. And she said, yes, I know. I believe she did.
But still.
Yeah.
She just was hired to do a waitressing job.
Right.
So. But of course, you know, the catalyst of her death is what makes Bullseye turn on Fisk.
And right.
He creepily then drives around her frozen corpse in the car.
Yeah. He was such a great character.
Yes.
You know, with the white noise, with the tapes of the doctor, you know, so that he could listen to them and kind of calm himself down. And then, you know, then when you don't have the tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it. I thought it was a good season. I'm still, I got to say, after all the news that they've done recently with Disney's new streaming service and how, you know, they're going to have, you know, Winter Soldier and Falcon with the actual actors.
Yes.
It's really looking more and more likely that Netflix might say, okay, Daredevil's also canceled and Jessica Jones canceled and Disney just take them back, you know?
Well, see, the problem is, though, I don't see Disney picking them up for their streaming service.
Oh, I don't either. They'll keep the characters, but they're not going to pick up these actors.
Which will, the loss of Luke Cage, that didn't bother me.
Iron Fist sucks.
Season 2 was amazing.
Yeah.
That was so good. Jessica Jones, if they canceled that, that wouldn't faze me much either.
No.
But Daredevil, man, like, first season 1 was great, season 2 was okay, season 3 is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the conspiracy series that Netflix is trying to hide it on the streaming service so people can't find it. No, that's bullshit. Because people can, first of all, anyone that's a fan of it's going to find it.
Yeah, and they have a little search bar.
Yeah, that and also they want to make money.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we still have Punisher coming out,
mm-hmm.
and there's allegedly going to be a third season of Jessica Jones. So even though they haven't canceled Daredevil officially yet, I hope they don't.
Right.
And, you know, they could do another Defender season and bring back Iron Fist and Colleen and, you know, and everyone else.
Right. They could definitely do that, bring these actors up and say, you know, we want you back for this, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess. Supergirl. So anyways,
my first note on this show was angst and drama.
Yeah.
It really got really angsty and dramatic.
Well, so they got rid of the, kryptonite in the atmosphere.
Using nanites.
You knew that couldn't last long.
Well, I knew it couldn't last long, but like for them to sit there and they're like, we're watching the atmosphere is 90% clean. It'll still be lethal to you. And oh no,
it's 98% clean. And oh, now it's 100% clean. Oh, right. You know, and then some generic no name alien kills Mercy and Otis.
Yeah.
So they're gone.
Yeah.
Kills them both.
Yeah. She's like, gone. Dead.
I had to do it. Now arrest me.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite thing of this whole episode is when they're at the fairgrounds and the child won the stuffed Bebo.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. One of my notes, Bebo came as a fair prize. Cameo as a fair prize.
So I thought that was...
And he knocks it down and the kid's like, hey, that's Bebo.
Yeah. But I'm not hating on Supergirl.
No.
By any means.
No.
I'm enjoying it.
It's just, it's a little angsty, you know, the whole thing about... Kara not wanting to sit on the sidelines, and Alex is like, you know, I'm in charge now. I'm doing this for your safety. That suit won't sustain you. All of its power is going to keeping you alive. It can't sustain hits. And then Kara's like, I'm going to come and help you. I saved your life. And no, I'm in charge. You have to listen to me, because Alex is having a hard time. Admittedly so. You know, Alex is now newly in charge, and she's already had at least one person not only turn traitor on her, but like steal technology and...
She's had two.
Right. Steal technology and release prisoners.
Yeah.
You know, this doesn't look good for her first, you know, week. And she's got the president who's coming down on her, and he's like, what the fuck, Danvers?
And then she disobeys an order in episode 5 there, and so a new colonel's come in to oversee everything.
Yeah.
How long are you going to be here?
As long as it takes.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, sorry. No, at the very end, we see Russian Supergirl.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, we still don't know what
except
that is.
Except tonight is clean from the air, except in Russian.
Yeah.
Good God, back to my training. It's in Russian.
Yeah. I don't know what their angle is on that. I don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, we'll see. I still, I mean, it's not like I hate it or anything.
Right. Keeping along those lines, we had Arrow.
I don't know if I'm caught up. I know I watched some.
This one was the flash forward, kept showing like the future of Star City.
I don't think I watched that one.
Okay.
I watched the episode.
Bebo was in it again.
Was he?
It's another Bebo doll.
Nice.
Like, this is the thread that is running through the Arrowverse. Fuck the crossover. We've got Bebo. Bebo is all.
I watched the episode where Oliver gets himself sent up to, like, level two or whatever it is. Like, he gets pulled. He gets sent to the other. He ends up, like, apparently they have a fight club going on in prison.
Yeah, that was the one before that.
So he ends up there, and he ends up stabbing a couple guards or whatever to get sent up to level two.
Yeah.
So
now, this one was basically the flash forward is the best part for me. I've seen some sites that say that they don't like it. But, like, we see Dinah has aged, you know, but she's still – apparently – vigilantism is very against the law, and like Star City has fallen into disrepair because they'll shoot vigilantes on sight.
Yeah,
but don't worry, Mad Dog's not around. His daughter is.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and they don't foretell it at all during the episode where, like, she gets the little, you know, black canary pin from Dinah because, you know, she's like, it's a canary, and then later on, you know, we see the future version, and she's like, look, I got the canary pin.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but it is the best part so far because...
Oh, is it?
Well, it's one of those, you know, it's a flash forward, which, for the most part, are always fun.
Right.
Even though this show sucks some of the fun out of it.
Can happen, yeah. Yeah.
Legends? You watch that one?
I think I'm caught up on...
This was God Save the Queen?
Yes. I'm caught up on Legends.
I loved this episode until the last, like, 5 minutes of it. I thought it was great. You know, we've got
Dancing
the punk
Queen.
Rock Dancing Queen. Yeah.
Well, okay, I watched Witch Hunt, which was episode two.
Yep.
And that's when Nate's dad finds out Nate works for the Bureau.
Yes.
The whole nine. That was good. Biff. Yep. Perfect. And then I did watch this this one. And I thought it was okay.
I liked it. I thought it was good. Ray got a moment in the spotlight, you know, at Rage.
See, this is how they get the actress that plays Amaya back.
And that's why I hated the last 5 minutes of it. When she shapeshifted into Amaya, and then the Constantine, like, did his magic, and he's like, oh, I just took your powers, love. You can't shapeshift now. And I'm like, motherfucker, really? We had a perfectly good actress right here as a shapeshifter.
I thought she would have been – that's the thing. It's like I thought they were going to keep her on the show as a shapeshifter or whatever.
And it would have been awesome to have a shapeshifter in their crew.
Yep.
That would have been great. They could really use that. But no, not only do they strip her of her powers, they use the actress who played Amaya. Yeah. And now there's going to be some angst between her and
but now
Nate.
But now she has no power.
Yeah.
Well, Nate doesn't know about her.
He's going to as soon as he walks on the ship.
No, because remember, like...
He's taking the leave, I know. He's
right, but yeah, exactly. But she was like, oh, we don't need you to come on the ship after all.
Yeah, because they don't want him to see her and be like, oh my God, angst. It looks like her, and it sounds like her. I can't believe that they did that. They had a perfectly good actress. What is wrong with them? Why would they do that? I'm not shitting on the show. I'm just shitting on their desire to bring back that actress.
Yeah, she's
not a bad actress.
No, it's not that at all, but it's just, right. It's just,
this is a barista, by the way.
Yeah. I was a barista.
But yeah, that really, it sounds like it ticked you off as well.
It did. I was just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, Ray did tell everyone that he helped Nordark escape as a way to be
at the very
I'm
end.
Like Bruce.
Yeah, I'm bad. I did this. Oh,
I shouldn't
have said that.
I shouldn't have said that, oh, no. Flash.
I think you were an episode behind because they didn't have one last week because of the midterm elections.
Yeah, okay. But didn't Flash start a week early?
Yep.
So that's how they caught up everything else.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So they didn't have one last week.
Correct.
But they did have one the week before.
Yep.
Oh, we're coming up on the 100th episode of Flash.
Oh, excellent.
It's going to be called Whose Past is Prologue, December 4th.
Interesting.
Is that part of the crossover? Or is the crossover the week after, I believe?
See, we already covered that because that was the one with the Meditech.
Yes. Okay, so then we are all caught up.
Yeah, we're all caught up with Flash.
That's what I thought. All right, I guess moving on. Manifest. Let's talk about Manifest real quick.
Yeah, because we watched this week's episode tonight, right?
Yes, we watched right before quote my wife, and we basically sat there and riff-tracked the whole thing to the point where I said, do we like this show? And you and Karen were like, yes.
Yes, we do, because it's fun to make fun. It's getting very unbelievable.
This episode jumped the shark.
the last episode jumped the shark. I wanted to kill that little boy. Not the red door. Not the red door. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. Oh, my God. Get that kid some fucking acting lessons.
Yeah, well, and this episode was worse because, you know,
the heart.
Yeah. Cal.
Heartbeat of America.
You know, Cal gets a job working at this accounting firm. So they do the thing where he talks about what he needs to do to try to get this accounting job so he can get into this entry-level position.
At this company that
provides accounting for Unified Dynamic Systems.
Right. Who is behind the abductions of some of the passengers.
And in between the cutting of him talking about getting the job, they show him getting the job.
In the most unrealistic way.
Right.
Like, from a writing standpoint, yes, okay. Shows do this all the time. Oh, you're hired. It doesn't work that way in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. And then to continue the lazy writing, he starts his first day. His new supervisor invites him to play poker that night.
Yeah.
Because the supervisor loves the fact he was on flight, you know, 181.
828.
828, whatever it is. And then, still his first day, mm-hmm. his badge won't let him get into the Unified Dynamics area. So he devises a plan where he can get his boss's badge by microwaving his badge.
Yeah.
So now it doesn't work, and his boss just willingly hands his badge to him.
Yeah,
so now he can access the computer with his boss's badge. And then it's just everything just happens so conveniently.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, oh, time to go play poker.
It was literally the laziest writing I've ever
seen. Where he makes best friends with a computer junk, with a guy in the IT, and then spills coffee on him. This is day two.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hacks in, you know, he goes off for a coffee, so he gets into the file he couldn't get into with his boss's badge and downloads the files to a thumb drive. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, bro.
And then we have one of the B stories where his sister, the cop, is driving along with her partner, and he's now kind of looped in on things because of, you know, last week's episode when she finally came clean with him and was like, okay, look, I hear voices and they're calling me to do stuff. Because, you know, he's almost lost his job like twice for her. So right. It's nice she's finally honest with him. And they're driving down the road and they hear that shots were fired at a barber shop. Yeah. Not in the neighborhood. Shots were fired in the barber shop.
Yeah.
Now, if the kid had been in the barber shop and reported this, he would have said, my uncle has been shot.
Right.
He's dying. And that would have been the dispatch. One male has been shot.
Right.
Another fled on foot.
Right.
Instead, they dispatched shots fired at the barber shop.
Yeah. We'll read about the coulda from there.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So they go. Nobody chases the criminal.
No.
Because, you know, the girly girl there has to go and try to stop the bleeding by giving him chest compressions and forcing all the blood out of the bullet hole.
I did like how they showed the blood just gushing out of the bullet hole.
Yeah, every time she pressed down on his heart,
yeah.
The thing that pumps the blood. And her partner called in the bus, you know, the ambulance.
I'll call the bus.
Which is slang for ambulance because, you know, dispatch wouldn't have sent an ambulance to gunshots. Come on. So this was very unrealistic. And then she goes through this whole big thing where she tracks down the kid because she knows, oh, my God, he's going to try to get revenge for his uncle's killing. And she's hearing a heartbeat. And she tracks down the kid and convinces him to give back the weapon. And he does, even though her partner goes, no, that weapon's long gone by now. And then
they find the guy, the shooter.
Yeah, because she hears his heartbeat. And she hears it louder and louder and louder and tracks him down just as he's about to take a broken bottle and gut some old man for $40. And she takes him in and goes right to the barbershop and says, oh, guess what? We caught the guy. And he goes, well, it's not enough, you know, justice and blah, blah, blah. And then she sees a picture because she is more of a heartbeat. And she sees a picture on the mirror. And the picture is of her best friend that she killed.
Evie.
Yeah. And she goes, how did you know Evie? And he goes, oh, I was dying. I needed a heart transplant. She was my donor. And Mike and Kate both started getting rather, like, emotional and teary, and they were like, oh, that's so touching. And I went, I mimicked the girl and said, yeah, I killed her so that you could have her heart.
Kate goes, guess I'm not going to cry now.
Yeah. Kind of ruined the whole moment, but that's kind of what I do.
But we basically riff-tracked the whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we weren't together for the episode before that, but my God, that kid cannot act.
No.
He's a terrible actor, and it was very annoying. It bothered me that his twin sister was absent the entire episode. This kid's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And his twin sister's gone. His mother, okay, you know, Prince Charming Prince Charming's wife there, you know, who has been here for 5 years with Danny. She actually had the audacity to say to him at the end, "You left me when I needed you. You're not allowed to do that anymore." Nope. Nope. I am allowed to do that.
I didn't leave you. I disappeared.
Yeah, I disappeared. You were in a hospital with our son.
You were being a parent. I was being a parent together.
Oh.
Parenting.
And we also had this weird thing this most recent episode where it almost felt like they were going to go creepy because Danny was taking the 16-year-old rock climbing, indoor rock climbing.
All right.
So they can climb Acadia.
Climb Acadia. As Mainers, I'll be happy to tell you, you cannot climb Acadia. Now, granted, I assume they're talking about Acadia National Park here in Maine.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a Mount Acadia somewhere that I'm not aware of. I doubt this. But I'm a Google search away from finding out. Mount Acadia. Nope, there isn't. It goes right to Acadia National Park. So you can't hike, you can't mountain climb Acadia because it's a national park that's, you know, a lot of acres. And 47,000 acres, actually. There's a mountain there. It's called Cadillac Mountain.
And you can walk up it.
Drive up it or walk up it. you can drive through Acadia, but you can't,
The St. Sever and Acadia Mountain Loop is a challenging hike that summits two mountain peaks. It offers stunning views of Somme's Sound and the surrounding mountains, as well as an outlying islands and the ocean.
Yeah.
It's a hike.
It's a hike. It's not a. It's not a mountain.
But anyway, they're doing this whole thing where they're like doing the indoor mountain climbing or rock climbing, you know, which aren't real rocks, and that bothers me.
Right. Yeah.
And
it's just the challenge wall for American Gladiators.
Yeah. And people do this all the time. It's
called the wall.
Yeah. Well, they kind of got creepy because like she's like she quits. I don't want to do this anymore. And then she decides I'm going to do this again. And Danny's like, why is that? She goes, I never wanted to climb anything. I just wanted to spend time with you. And it almost had a little creepy, like, I'm in love with the older man that my mom's been sleeping with.
They didn't go there, luckily.
No, they didn't. But when he brought her home and she walked into the house, mom came out to greet them. Mom had some fuck me eyes going.
Yeah, she did.
She wants Danny again.
Can't blame her.
But that's okay, because Prince Charming there is going to go and be with the doctor, so.
I feel like Cal's going to end up with the doctor.
Yeah. I call him Prince Charming because that's who he was in Once Upon a Time.
I liked him better in that, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't really like him in this.
No, I don't either.
Again, I'm going back to, do we even like this show?
I like it now as a source of entertainment.
Okay.
I liked it when it first came out for the mystery. Now, I feel like they're too easy. Their writing is dumb. You know, and All we're going to have pretty soon here is, and I'm calling this right now, mom there is going to be pregnant, and we're not going to know if it's Danny's or Cal's. I'm calling it.
Yeah.
Because that'll be one of those, you know, I've got a great idea, guys, pitching it in the writer's room, and everyone will go, oh, that's great. Pregnancy is always a good hook. No, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's not. It's a terrible hook. We're sick and tired of it.
I am, yeah.
Knock it off. Because then the baby becomes a prop, which is what's happening in The Gifted.
Yeah.
You know, the baby is a prop that they always have to figure out, oh, mom's going on a mission. Who's going to watch the baby? You know, or I'm doing this for the baby. Well, nobody cares because it's a baby and it doesn't get any screen time because it's a fucking baby.
Right.
Anyway. So, yeah.
So there has not been an episode of This Is Us since October 13th. There was one this past Tuesday, but again, I think with the election, October 30th, there was one on November 13th. I think with the election, a lot of shows didn't happen.
Now, maybe I hadn't watched that one before, but I had to catch up by watching one episode. This was the one where we got Kate announcing to everyone that she was pregnant.
Yeah, you hadn't seen it then.
Yeah.
That aired before Halloween.
Yeah. Okay. That one, I didn't. Okay. As I said earlier tonight,
yeah.
I still like this show, but the more I watch it, the more I realize the Pearson kids are all selfish dicks. They really are selfish dicks. Like, in the beginning of this episode, they have this whole phone tree where everybody's like, you know, Kate's talking to her mom and saying, you know, oh, I'm pregnant. And her mom's like, oh, that's great. And they do this thing where, like, the conversation keeps getting carried on. It's the same conversation,
yes,
but then between different people.
Yeah.
And it's all about Toby's depression. Yep. And the unanimous decision is, well, why doesn't he just go back on his meds? Mom even says, you know, well, this has to be fixed, and it has to be fixed now because you're pregnant and he needs to be fixed. And nobody ever says, like, what can we do to help? Nobody ever says, you know, well, we've got to be there for him. They go, well, why doesn't he just get back on his meds? Why doesn't he just get better? You know, he needs to fix this.
They obviously don't understand depression and mental health.
And they obviously don't understand looking out for someone else, because if that was Toby and the roles were reversed and Kate had the depression, he'd be like, look, guys, I need you to pull together. We need to do this. Let's help her out, you know. And even in the end of the episode, when he gets up and he's like dressed and she goes, oh, you finally felt like getting up and getting dressed. And he's like, no.
No.
He's like, I thought if I went through the motions, I would. And I don't. So, you know what? I'm going to go back into bed. And she goes, no, you need to come on a walk with us. He's like, I don't want to go on a walk with you. No, I think you need to come on a walk with us. All right, I'll go on a walk with you. You know? And
but I think in one aspect, Kate was right. She got to get him out of the house.
She wants to get him out of the house, but she's also not respecting what he's going through. She's not like, what can I do to help? She's like, no, you need to go take a walk. Because she wanted him out there. Because she was too busy talking on the phone and the dog ate a rock and then couldn't poop.
Beth is going through some trouble in this episode.
Yeah.
She's having some issues with dealing with getting fired. Yeah. She didn't handle it well.
Yep.
And then she's trying to help her daughter sell Girl Scout cookies and kind of...
loses her mind?
Yeah, well, her daughters are being shits.
Oh, they were. And she admits it later.
We'd sell like 400 boxes if we just go to mom's work. Like, 400 boxes? Jeez, oh, girl. Yeah.
And then she didn't bring the swipe thing. Why didn't you bring the swipe thing? We told you, you have to bring the swipe thing. And then her daughter later on, she's like, no, I was being an asshole.
Yeah. Deja gives her a speech, which I thought was hilarious.
It was.
And she's like, you know, when Randa looks at you, he looks at you like you're a Disney princess and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know, it was awesome. And then afterwards, Beth's just like, that was really good. Yeah, I've been in this household for quite a while.
I learned how to talk about stuff like that.
I thought that was good.
But even then, and maybe this is me reading too much into it, but, you know, Randall comes home and he's like, you know, oh, I got a campaign manager. Oh, yeah. I'm doing pretty good. And, okay, yeah, that's great. And Beth's like, look, I'm not doing good with this. I'm not doing well. And instead of him saying, you know, like, well, what can we do to help? He goes, come work with me. Come work on my campaign. Well, I'm giving you a job. You know, you're awesome and you're strong. And I've seen that every day. So you need to come work for me. Okay, you're making it about yourself again. You know, I get you're trying to help her by giving her a job, but she's saying, I'm having a problem. I don't feel right. This wasn't just about the job. This was about the girls.
But she seemed very excited about it.
Well, he has an infectious kind of energy.
Right.
But
and, well, and then afterwards, at the end, she really goes, like, you do see, like, whatever it is, you know, chipmunks and birds, when you know what I mean, look at me right. or something like that. I thought that was funny. Yep. He was like, what? But this was also the episode where we have Kevin see a picture of his dad staring longingly. Is that the episode?
Well, he had seen that picture at the end of the last episode.
And she's got the necklace on that belongs to her dad.
Yep.
And so he's like, I mean, this is my dad's necklace, but she was wearing it. So, I mean, she has to mean something to her.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I'm going to Vietnam to find out.
Yeah.
I actually, this, I'm excited about that storyline. I want to see more about that.
Yep.
Yep.
Once again, I was bothered, though.
Because it's all about him?
Well, here's the thing. You know, he's with Beth's cousin there.
Yeah.
And she gets done, and she's like, I finally finished my documentary. And he's like, that's great. Let's celebrate. And she goes, no. I have a thing.
Yes. She has a ritual where she goes and spends time by herself after.
At a hotel, at a spa, decompress. And she even tells him right out. He's like, okay, let's go. And she goes, no. I do this by myself. I'm alone.
Yeah.
And yet, when he gets all excited about going to Vietnam, he pounds on the hotel door, and he's like, I'm here. And she's like, I literally told you not to come here. And he's like, but I had to tell you. Here, I got you it wasn't a visa or anything.
It's an application for a visa.
Right, yeah. It's an application for a visa. He's like, because you're coming to Vietnam with me. And she's like, okay. And he's like, because I figured, you know, you're a documentary person and you probably find something in it.
He doesn't say you're coming. He says, I want you to come with me.
Right, and
she agrees.
Yeah.
Because she wants to.
Couldn't have waited until she was done with her spa weekend.
I just can't believe you didn't bring this one up. When Kevin calls Randall, and he's like, where are you right now? And Kevin Randall goes, no, I got to take care of this by myself. He's like, ha, 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 you know I'm not going to listen to that. I'll find out where you are if you don't tell me.
Yeah.
Fine, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes downtown, and apparently the man, he's huge in Korea.
Yep. And Randall, except for they call him the baby man.
The baby man. And then Randall cuts a promo
yeah.
to some Asian woman. And her son shows up and he's like, you know, she registered to the vote for the first time ever today. She's going to vote for you and da, 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 da. He goes, you know, I got like a master's degree.
Yeah, and I did. I was campaign manager for these two campaigns out in Ohio. And,
yeah.
So I'll work for you.
So I'd like to be your campaign manager. I go, what's your name? I did like this part. What's your name? He goes, Jaywon, but people just call me John.
Yeah.
And Reno doesn't go, all right, John. He just goes, Jaywon.
Yeah.
Said his name. Reminds me of Jackie Chan and Shanghai Noon.
Yes.
What's your name? John Wayne. John Wayne? That's a terrible name. No, John Wayne.
John Wayne, what kind of a cowboy name is that?
John Wayne. Yeah.
But I still like the show.
I do like the show.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Stand Against Evil. Now, you...
Hadn't watched the first two.
And then now here we are, and you've watched the first four,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't watched anything past the first two.
So we could talk about the first two.
So we can talk about the first two, and I'll just go, I still... My favorite part is when he talks about his daughter, and he says, how doesn't she drown in the rain?
Because... We had the two FBI agents that are clearly supposed to be Mulder and Scully.
Yes.
And
the episode was called The Hex Files.
Right. Yeah. And his daughter has met them for like all of 5 seconds, and they're sitting on a stakeout, and suddenly Scully gets a phone call from Denise.
Yeah.
And she's like talking. She's like, no, I'm going to be busy this weekend. Well, it does sound like a lovely trip. No, yeah. I can't do that. And she accepts. She goes, how did your daughter get my phone number? And that's when he's like,
how doesn't she drown in a rainstorm? So wasn't he completely Dr. Cox in episode two?
Completely Dr. Cox.
Episode two was just him as Dr. Cox, yep. as Stan.
The first episode was weird because I felt like they opened it up like that was what the theme was going to be this season, but then it just kind of ended.
Yeah.
Like they were in their own personal hells.
Yes.
Like she was in a mental institution. I'm doing air quotes right now. In a mental institution. And everyone thought she was crazy. And Stan, she and everybody else saw Stan as a demon.
Monster. Yeah. Demon, yeah. And that was his personal hell. And
yeah, he's like... Blah, blah, blah. So every time they saw Stan coming and he was trying to talk to them, what they really... It was one of those, you know, like, we could see Dr. Cox.
Right.
But then they saw this rubbery latex monster thing. It was weird, though, because it's like the episode began like that, but then it just ended. Like, it was just done.
Yes.
And the personal hell thing
They got over. Out of the personal hell thing and it somehow, yeah.
Yeah. Because they had to kill each other is what it was.
Yes.
Like, he had his hand around Evie's throat, and she's like, do it. Squeeze harder. And she stabbed him at the same time. Yeah. So they killed each other, but it snapped them out of their...
Were episodes 3 and 4 good?
Yes.
God, I can't wait to watch them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking about those.
I'm looking forward to watching them. there was no Roseanne or The Kids Are All Right.
Okay.
Once again, because of, the election stuff.
Yep.
We did get a The Rookie. Did you watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? Or have you not watched that one?
I have watched The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay, because they just had another one on this past week.
Right, which I have not.
We're not talking about that yet. Where there's a bag of money stolen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're chasing down thieves at the beginning, and then there's a bag of money laying there, and then he arrests the guy, and they're dressed like zombies or whatever, and then the bag of money gets stolen. And
yep.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. That got a full season order, by the way.
Did it?
Yep.
And should. It's a great show.
Yep.
Nathan Fillion's the man.
He is.
I mean, come on. I mean, he is the man.
He is Captain Hammer.
He is Captain Hammer.
By the way, the hammer is my penis.
I got a Dr. Horrible Best Friends Forever one shot comic. I picked it up at my local comic shop Wednesday. And I just noticed it's written by Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about this was coming out. I just saw it and was like, well, that. I must buy that now. And then, of course, if you're a Firefly fan.
Say that 5 times fast.
November the 14th, I mean, the first issue came out of the new run.
Yep.
So that's pretty friggin'
not
awesome.
Not written by Joss Whedon.
No, but it's created by him. But Boom Studios bought the rights. They have all the rights to all the old Firefly comics. And it's not going to be a...
And the Buffy comics.
And the Buffy comics as well. But it's not going to be a limited, like, 6-issue run like they have been doing with the Firefly stories. This is a new monthly.
Yep. Which is cool.
I'm so excited about that.
They especially want to tell some of the stories that came before Firefly.
Yes. So my only two monthly books I get right now is the new Bendis Superman.
Mm-hmm.
which is up to issue 5. I'm loving this story after the Man of Steel six issues they did, and then Firefly. Those are my only two monthly books. Kanan's only monthly books is Spider-Man and Deadpool.
So this week on Talking Comics with Mike.
Yeah, so Spider-Man and Deadpool is an excellent book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teen book as opposed to...
Two excellent heroes.
Yeah, as opposed to the MA versions of Deadpool. Figured I can be a good parent, let him read Deadpool, and make sure it's not horrible. Anyways, yeah. Say, so we find out that Bradford's ex-wife, the drug addict, used to be a cop.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about the rookie.
Sorry, yeah, we kind of went off track there completely.
Nathan Fillion, Dr. Horrible,
yeah.
Firefly. Sorry, tangent. Anyways, she used to be a narcotics cop.
Yes.
And that's how she got hooked on drugs.
Yeah, and... When we, I don't know if it's the same actress, because when we first met her,
I don't think it is.
She looked a lot worse, and now suddenly she's there, and I'm like, "This is a famous actress. I've seen her in other stuff."
Yeah, I don't. I feel like that she's not the same actress.
I think I saw her in the pilot,
yes.
And I think that they got a heavier Hollywood hitter to take over this role.
Maybe they decide they're going to do something more with her,
right?
Bradford came back way too soon.
Yes, way too soon.
You know, that's his own fault.
Grievous injury.
Yep.
But he chose to, you know.
Right.
He's got to be on the job, man. I told somebody the other day who really liked Castle. They were like, oh, Nathan Fillion. I'm like, it's not going to be what you're expecting.
Yeah, no, it's not a comedy.
No. It's got a few jokey lines in there and a few comic moments.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a drama. Definitely a
drama. Yeah, it's definitely way more of a drama.
What are you looking up?
I'm trying to find out Bradford's wife.
Oh, okay. So. I want to say her name was like Vanessa or something.
Yeah, it's funny because if you look up on IMDb, there is no female character with the last name Bradford.
No.
Because, you know, his name's was it Tim.
Yeah.
So, anyways, doesn't matter. So I was kind of curious if they did, you know, switch actresses.
Yeah. We'll have to look it up for the next show.
Yeah, we will. Anyways, moving on. I enjoyed this episode.
Yes.
I think I like how Bradford and Chen connected in it.
Yes.
They're
building more of a partnership, friendship kind of thing.
Yep.
Which is good.
I like how West and Lopez discuss fallback options, and everyone has a fallback except the captain.
No, except for the kid there. Legacy kid.
Yeah, the legacy kid doesn't, but that's what I mean. That's West. Yeah,
basically, Lopez, he doesn't have a fallback, right, and they're like, that's so stupid. Why don't you have a fallback? And then they're going through it. Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to fallback. But then you're right. The captain doesn't have a fallback.
Yeah. And he's like, see, I told you. I thought it was good.
The fallback is basically, you know, a plan B. Like, if you don't cut it as a cop or you decide you don't want to do it anymore or you wash out.
It can happen. I mean, even if you don't plan on it happening, it can happen. I haven't watched a New Amsterdam since the episode where he told his wife that he has cancer.
I don't think there has been one.
Okay, maybe there wasn't.
I don't have any notes about it, but
I watched the first episode of The Good Doctor where they're living together. And
how does she not want to brain him?
I know, she's very tolerant, but he has a lot of rules.
He's like the more intolerable version of Sheldon Cooper.
Yeah, except like Sheldon can help it. He's just being
a dick.
He's being an ass, and I guess, you know, her thing is like, well, he can't help himself. But I love the fact that she's like, look, I'll try my best, but you need to let things go.
Yeah.
And he just goes, fine, I cannot let go, though, only using one ply toilet paper. She's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And then he goes in the bathroom later, and there's two toilet paper dispensers, one going the right way, one going the wrong way. And he's like, I like this.
Yeah. He was more interested in being right than caring about her feelings.
Right, exactly.
He had, like, when he found out that he was right, that, you know, whatever it was, he looked it up online and found out that the right way to hang toilet paper was this way. Yeah. And that was what he said. He's like, but I'm right. That's what matters. I'm right.
Right. And this all stemmed from this violinist who, he's like, she has flesh-eating bacteria. And the girl, the blondie girl, she's like, well, we just can't cut into her finger to find out. I mean, I'm sure it's fine. And ultimately, at the end, she did have the flesh-eating bacteria. Sean was right the whole time. So he's like, see, I was right.
Yeah.
But he and did.
She didn't lose just a finger. She lost
She ended up losing her arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, you know, Blondie went into the hyperbaric chamber with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, you need to leave. And she's like, yeah, I can't.
Yeah. But basically, the girl blamed her.
Yeah. She's like, he was right. You know, he was right the whole time. But, you know, Blondie showed emotion this episode,
yeah,
which we haven't seen.
No, she's been very cutthroat up until this
point. Yeah. This episode, she showed lots of emotion.
She recognized something in this girl because this girl had been playing the violin since she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And Blondie had, what was it? Archery.
Yeah.
Archery that she had been doing since, you know, day one. So she understood that drive and that commitment and that determination. And so she saw a piece of herself in her and didn't want her to lose that because she knew even if she got a little bit of nerve damage in her fingers, that her days of playing the violin would be over. So she was trying to spare her from all that by going with this test and doing this and ended up losing the whole arm. So
right. And Melendez there tells her, like, look, you and Sean have different styles. That doesn't make you right and him wrong, or him right you wrong. It means it helps you work together. Look at me and Asian doctor.
Right.
And I can't think of his name. And he goes, we can't stand each other, but clearly we work well together.
Yep.
And so I think that's what made her make that. I think between that and then connecting with this girl, she's like, maybe being a cutthroat bitch isn't the way to go.
Right.
Wasn't there a character on House that was the same way?
Yeah. Cutthroat bitch.
Cutthroat bitch.
Amber.
Amber. That's what he called her, cutthroat bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. All right, what else did we watch?
I don't know about we. I finished out Kidding. Kidding is all done on Showtime, but it's coming back for a second season.
Okay.
And it said that. The last two episodes, the big reveals in these were very interesting.
Okay.
It's a really good show. It's dark.
That's what I get from you every week. You're like, man, this show's dark.
Yeah. So they were going to do Mr. Pickles on Ice, and they got Tara Lipinski, actually got Tara Lipinski to play the part.
That's funny.
And Mr. Pickles basically told her, you know, he's like, you know, you grew up with Mr. Pickles, you loved him. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, then don't put that suit on. Don't be me. Just be Tara Lipinski. Be the best you that you can be. And she's like, okay. So she was going to go out on the ice as Tara Lipinski. And his dad, of course, was like, no, we're selling Mr. Pickles. We're trying to sell the Mr. Pickles dolls that we brought out. And they had this whole thing where they were making the Mr. Pickles doll and it had a string and you pull it and, you know, records. And like they had him in the recording studio and he's saying all these things like, you're going to die someday. And, you know, why do we even bother with this? And they're like, we can't use any of these things. So he convinced Tara Lipinski to not go out on the ice. Well, Tara Lipinski has a sister who helps her out through all this. She's basically the stooge. You know, Tara, like, rips on her, and they have a parrot that says, you know, put the food down, you fat cunt, stuff like that, because she hears Tara say it to her sister all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the dad goes to her sister and goes, you skate. She's like, yeah. He goes, how would you like to be a star? So he convinces the sister to put on the Mr. Pickles outfit.
Yeah.
So now it's Tara Lipinski is lost, and Mr. Pickles has to come find her. And so the sister goes out there, and they do this beautiful number, and all the kids are loving it. You know, it's Disney on Ice, basically, or Sesame Street on Ice.
Sure, sure, sure.
But very last scene of the episode, they're doing their thing, and Mr. Pickles has found Tara Lipinski, and he saved her and rescued her, and they're doing their little spins and twirls and stuff like that, and her sister's blade comes right up and cuts her right across the throat. And blood just goes everywhere. And all the kids
throw cut.
Oh yeah, and
Jesus.
And she's laying there.
And Tara Lipinski died as herself on the show.
In the next episode, we see she's in the hospital. She had her throat cut, but she did not die. But she can't talk, and she can barely swallow.
That's hilarious.
It was hilarious. So then we've got the final episode, and it was so good because like his sister's always forgotten. She's the one that builds the puppets. And she talked to him about how she builds the puppets. She looks at someone. She looks into their soul, basically, and tries to find something in there. So she's talking about all these different characters that they have. Like, they've got this one puppet who's just a giant foot. Like, it's this monster foot that comes down from the sky, and all you ever see is his foot because he's so big. That was based on their father, you know, the god figure of the household. Mm-hmm. And it's really good watching her go through all this stuff. So basically, you know, he's trying to deal with this stuff, and he's finally starting to come out. Oh, he went on national television in the very beginning of the episode to light the national Christmas tree in New York City. You know, Rockefeller Center, the Christmas tree lighting. And he, as you would say, cuts this promo that he basically just talks about life and how, you know, he had a son and he lost his son. And he basically says that he killed him. He's like, I killed my son. And people are like, what? And he's like, he was going through some stuff. And he goes, it turns out I've discovered I'm a very good talker, but I'm not a good listener. And I didn't listen to him. And so I wasn't there for him, and I didn't know what kind of problems he was having. And I effectively killed my son. And, you know, it's like national TV and everything. And it's really touching and it's really harsh. And he just walks off and he's like, I've got to go. Well, remember how I told you that they had the transplant, the Japanese guy who's going to be doing Mr. Pickles?
Yeah.
He was standing backstage and he's like, he doesn't speak English. So he goes, oh, he didn't light the tree. You know, he was supposed to light the tree. So he runs on stage, picks up the remote to light the tree and goes to hold the key and yells out, Allahu Akbar! Turns the key and everybody screams and runs because they think he's a terrorist about to blow them up. Jesus. He just runs on stage and goes, Allahu Akbar! Turns the tree lights up. But
why did he scream that?
I don't know the exact translation, but I know that it's like a cheer kind of thing. It's not a, you know, I'm going to kill you. It's a good thing, I believe.
Okay.
So anyway, Mr. Pickles gets shut down. The TV show is shut down. It's not going to happen anymore. So they're packing up the sets and everything like that. But then this kid wanders in off the street, and he got a Mr. Pickles doll for Christmas. And the one thing that it says when you pull its string is, I'm listening. And the kid's like, he talks to Mr. Pickles and says, you know, I'm having trouble at home, blah, 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 blah. And then you see that there's another kid and then another kid. And pretty soon, like, his dad goes outside and Jeff's just sitting on the couch, like, talking or listening to this kid, like, not even talking, just listening. And his dad walks out and they've got this great scene where it's like all the way around the back of the building. There's just kids for miles just standing in line to come talk to him so that he'll listen to them. And his dad's thinking, wow, we've got something here. So his dad actually gets in line and goes and says, I think I need to listen to you now. And Jeff's like, oh, you know, it's really touching. And he's brought him back around. And the end of the episode, he goes to see his soon-to-be ex-wife and the new guy that she's living with. And, you know, the new guy has gone next door because the kids are all partying. You know, Jeff bought the house and he doesn't live there. So the kids found an abandoned house and they're like, we're going to party here. And Greg goes in there and he finds the clothes that Mr. Pickles had laid out. And he's like, motherfucker, Jeff lives here. He's like, what the hell? So he goes out. Jeff shows up and he's like, you know, what the fuck, man? Did you buy this house? Did you buy this house next to us? You're killing your wife. She loves you, but you're killing her with all this stuff. And Jeff basically says to him, you know, dude, I'm sorry. You know, I wanted to hate you. You're seeing my wife. You're raising my kid and you're just awesome. You're perfect. And I'm sorry that I tried to hate you, and gives him a big hug. And, you know, they basically make amends.
Yep.
And Jeff's like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go. And he goes to get in his car. And Greg's like, you know, hey, you want to get high? And he goes, what do you mean? And he goes, oh, I got a joint here. You know, we could get high. He's been having this problem with his kid getting high. And Jeff's like, no, I'm all set. Gets in his car and fucking mows him down. Just slams right into him, right up over the top of the car, leaves him lying in the middle of the street, just like, oh. And then the episode ends. And the season ends.
Yeah, that's a screwed up show and that's dark as shit.
It's dark as shit. I liked it, but I also thought that it was fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
It got better as it went on. So anyway.
Well, the wife and I watched the premiere double episode of Oak Island this week.
Oh, yes. My mother was losing her mind. She was so excited to see it.
Did your mom know that we went?
Yes. Yes.
So, lots of big, they did a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, well, this double episode. I mean, first of all, like, they have this new blasting sonar that they're doing of the money pit, which they started, did right at the beginning of the summer, I guess, or spring. When we saw the money pit, you could not tell they'd done any blasting there. It was all flattened out, cleaned out, or whatever. But apparently this is, like, supposed to help. And it's not, it was not huge explosions, but enough that the ground's disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's supposed to, like, help map the entire money pit, what's underground.
Okay.
This is over $1 million that this cost to do this. Another thing they were doing is some lots that they've never metal detected before because they didn't have access to or rights to, and now they do. So they kind of did some clear cutting so they could get in there, metal detect, and do some everything. And Gary finds, right at the end of the double episode, Gary finds, Gary Drayton finds a another Bobby Dazzler, where he finds another brooch. And he's like to Rick, he's like, we're the Brooch Brothers.
Jesus.
But they find another brooch, but this one appears to be gold with a red stone.
Hmm.
And then they found an old coin in this other spot, like an English coin from 1797. It was called the two penny. And there was a story behind how they built, how this coin was made. And it was only made for a short time. And it's like, there's no reason this should be here type of thing. And it's in great shape. I mean, but compared to the other coins they found. So, like, they've already found some stuff. You know, they did some lead oxide, did some lead oxide testing or whatever it is on the cross they found, which they're calling Drayton's cross because Gary Drayton found it. And excuse me. And it has that the lead that it was made from is the all the samples they have or whatever is it's not from North America.
Hmm.
So it proves the lead came from, you know, another country. And then they do some more testing on it to try to find out, you know, exactly how old it is, you know, and all this other things like that. So, I mean, they did a lot in these episodes. It was very exciting. I mean, we learned a lot of things. We saw a lot of the things they're going to be doing. And, you know, we got to see how they're going to build a cofferdam in Smith's Cove and how they're going to excavate that. And while we were there, we saw the cofferdam was up. We saw some, a lot of the excavation and everything. And they wouldn't talk about it. They're like, well, you can see what's happening behind us or what's happened. We're not going to talk about it, though. We want to see that aha moment. So my wife and I are excited to see some of the things that we saw. And it's hilarious because, like, we're watching it. And I'm like, oh, there, we drove across there. Oh, that's what that building was. Because, like, there was this building. Like, that looks just like the war room from the outside. Oh, they built a new war room because there's so many guests to the island. They built it further back and this and that and everything. And then there's a couple of times when they were like, and while they were doing this at the money pit, you know, Marty and went down to Smith's Cove to, and they make it seem like they're driving all the way on the other side of the island. It's like, they're like right there. They're next to each other practically. Like, I know, I've seen it. And then it's like, they show the island. It's like, we literally walked from one side of the island to the other and back.
But they make it seem bigger?
Right, yes, exactly. You know, because of the magic of TV and everything.
Right.
So that was kind of fun. And then we're watching them just drive down the road. And I, because I'm a detail guy, so I see as they pass by it, like through the window of the side of the truck, we're like, that's the restaurant we ate at before we went on the tour. So that was fun for that one. It's a different experience now. Now that we've been to the island and
Yeah. We've
met Rick and we've met Charles and we've met Gary and we've seen everything in person and everything, it's a whole new experience watching the show.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool. So we're pretty excited about it. We need to talk about The Good Place and Superstore.
Yes.
I'd like to start with Good Place.
Yes.
Because this is the simpler one.
It was kind of a lame episode.
It was, yeah. Basically, Michael shows Eleanor memories of her falling in love with Chidi to prove that she can fall in love and has free will. And she, of course, instead of once she sees everything, instead of believing him, she decides to do the thing she does where she just denies. And then finally at the end, she accepted, okay, I do have free will. I do have free choice. So I can, in fact, make choices.
Right. Because she was saying that he manipulated her every time.
Exactly. So then they go to the airport to pick up everybody else. And they determined that the only person they can go see to find out how to be just ultra good is, I can't think of his name, but the guy from the painting.
Yeah.
And I did see the next time or whatever, and it looks just like him, but now he's older.
Right.
And then, of course, the episode ends with some people from the Bad Place building a bootleg portal and coming across.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm more excited about that part.
Yeah.
So they found a back door into Earth.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what happens there.
But basically, this was like a clip show, but it was clips that we never saw.
That was the other thing, too. You're right. It was like a clip show, but instead of showing us clips of things that actually happened, they showed us clips of things we didn't see. So that was fun.
Yeah.
I like a couple of things. Oh, no, you don't want to see that. Like, Chidi's trapped in this gelatinous blob. And trust me, he is in excruciating pain right now. Okay, no, we don't need to watch that.
Yeah. I like how the first time he gave her the memory machine and she turned it on, it completely fucked her up. Like, her teeth fell out, her hair fell out. Yeah. She aged like 100 years. She's like, what's going on? He's like, no, we need to adjust
here, this. Eat this banana.
Yeah.
You'll be fine in 20 minutes. And then she's back to normal. Which apparently is possible.
Because, you know, it's magic. Right.
Superstore.
Superstore, on the other hand. There was so much to laugh about in this episode, and so much I could relate to.
Like, Glenn calls up Amy at the beginning, and she's like, oh, Glenn, I'm tired. The baby finally fell asleep. I'm tired. Yeah, so apparently you don't qualify for maternity leave, because when you're a new employee, you don't get it. Yeah, I know that, Glenn, but I've worked there 15 years. Well, apparently, after your suspension for the thing, it starts you over from zero. So you don't actually have leave, which is bullshit.
The union would be all up in arms.
So essentially, you either need to come into work or you got to get done. Well, I guess I'll see you in a little while. Good, because actually, your shift started an hour ago, and you were supposed to bring donuts.
Yeah.
And so it's just she hangs up on him.
Can't just leave it alone.
Yeah.
You know, the woman who just gave birth the day before, and he's got to stick that, like...
Yeah.
And it's not that he's being mean, he's just Glenn. And he's like, you know, because, you know, you were supposed to bring donuts.
And so she shows up in her pajamas and just, has a rough day.
Yeah. So she has a rough day.
I think Sandra had a rougher day.
I think Sandra had an awesomely rougher day because basically Dina calls her on one of the
FaceTimes. Sandra's watching.
She's like, finally you picked up, blah, 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 blah. She wanted to tell her some stuff that's going on. She's like, wait, I think that guy's shoplifting. Take me over there. So Sandra has to carry Dina around FaceTiming.
And she's holding it in front of her, and Dina's yelling at people, but no one's listening to her doing what she... Because Dina's still in the hospital after having her baby because she had a C-section, so she's in there for another day.
Yeah, and she's fully covered, of course.
Yes.
But by the end of the episode, she's had Sandra weld together, and Sandra's like, I shouldn't be welding like this. She's like, oh, just put the glasses down. Has her weld a contraption so that she can walk around with the iPad in front of her face so that it's Sandra's body, but... Dina's face.
Yeah, so then she can talk to people so people listen to her, pay attention to her.
It was so bad.
It was.
The best part of this whole episode, though, was that Garrett and Jonah had to hire new people because they saw the person that Glenn hired.
Well, this girl comes in and she's doesn't have any shoes on or whatever. And Garrett says to her, like, you're not wearing any shoes. And she goes, I don't believe in shoes. She's like, what's there to believe in? They're a real thing.
They're a real thing. You can believe in them.
You can believe in them. They exist. I thought it was pretty awesome.
So basically, Glenn's like, oh, yeah, I hired her. And they're looking at her, and they're like, this woman is a train wreck. And he's like, well, I need to hire one more seasonal person, and they're like, we'll take care of that for you, because they're like, we can do a better job than Glenn ever.
And of course, they can't just say that, and he has to go with it. You know, she's like, I'll be there. He's like, well, no, you will be there, like, in spirit, because you taught us so well. And now he's like, oh, my boys have grown up. Oh, my boys.
So, we essentially had one candidate that they stuck with, you know, that we got a lot of screen time with, which was Sue Heck from the middle.
Sue Heck from the middle, yeah.
As Penny.
Yeah.
And she was just short of a dumpster fire. Like, she did not interview well, but she still had the Sue Heck enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, she did.
You know, the giant smile and everything. But, you know, she talked about how she got fired from her last jobs. And you know, she was a little too ambitious and she likes to sing and stuff like that. And they were just like, no, we're not going to take her. You know, because this was their first interview. And they're like, no, she's too much. We're just going to get her out of here. So then we got the
string
of...
Yes.
which we had some great, like one of them had a nosebleed and like giant wads of paper towel in front of them. And they're like, do you want us to, you know, call somebody? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I got to get through this interview.
And then the one that couldn't pick a chair and he's just like, God. Oh, is it this chair? Maybe I should sit in this chair. Or maybe I'll sit in this chair. Or maybe I'll sit in this chair. He goes back and forth and back and forth. And
over a whole clip of, you know, yeah. Then we'd see somebody else, then we come back to him, and he's still trying to
decide. And then finally he picks a chair, and he sits down in front of Gary, and Gary goes, ah, oh, sorry,
well,
pal.
Well, Gary told him, he's like, it doesn't matter, just pick a chair and sit in it. And he goes, fine, and he sits down. And
Gary's like, ah, like, oh, sorry.
That was the wrong chair.
Joe's like, yeah, sorry.
One of the guys... they're like, what's your greatest strength? And he goes, oh, my greatest strength.
Strength.
Strength. And they're like, okay, well, what's your greatest weakness?
What's about? No, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
And then at one point, they finally got frustrated, and there was a guy sitting there, and he looked like a complete douche, and Jonah goes, and of course, they bleeped him, and he goes, it's a fucking job interview. Did you even look at yourself in the mirror today?
They did a lot of bleeping this episode.
Yeah, yeah. And then...
So then they hire Suhak.
Yes.
They call her back in. She's like, oh, I already accepted this other job.
She was the best of...
Yeah. You know. And so they talk her into it.
Yeah, they basically... They're like, we're family. Yeah. You want to come be with us? And
then she's there and her just over-the-top obnoxious self.
Dude, she was Suhak.
Yeah. And Glenn just goes, that's who you hired?
Meanwhile,
yeah.
We've got Mateo and Cheyenne who have decided to take it upon themselves to prove to Amy that naming her child Parker was a very bad decision.
Yep.
Because, you know, kids named Parker are going to get beat up. Kids named Parker are never going to make it. Like, they make a slideshow for
yes.
her. And she has, again, just given birth. She's exhausted. She's had, like, 1 hour of sleep. And these two... Again, they're not trying to be malicious. They're like, we need to help her. She named her kid Parker.
Oh, that's what's set then. Yeah. When she tells them that, oh, so you're sticking with that. It's on the birth certificate. And so then she goes to Glenn about breastfeeding, and he's freaking out because of her breastfeeding. And she's like, I need a breastfeeding in your office. Can you please, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, well, have you gone to our lactation room? We have a lactation room. And she opens up, it's a closet.
Yep.
It's like the janitor's closet. So she goes in and shuts the door, and she's hooked up, and she's got both things going and everything. And then, like, the door opens, and it's the Muslim guy with his rug. And he's like, well, can't you come back? Oh, actually, I can't. I have to pray right now.
Yeah.
This is when I need to pray.
Yeah. Strict schedule.
So they have some awkwardness, and he's like, oh, that machine is kind of loud. I mean, is there any way you can say, no, I can't turn it down? And then, of course, the joke later on is, like, Amy standing there talking to Jonah, and then the guy stops and goes, hey, time to go, right, Amy? And he holds his rug up, and she grabs her boobs. Yeah, I guess.
Yep.
We're on the same schedule.
Yep. Amy finally loses it on Glenn.
Oh, God.
After all this stuff, and she's, like, leaking through her shirt.
Yeah.
And she finally loses it. And, like, she's just about crying in this.
Yes.
But she just tells Glenn, kill yourself. And he's like, what? And she's like, just kill yourself.
It was harsh.
And then she goes off on him for a little while. And he tries to talk, and she's like, no, I'm talking now. And then she keeps going, and then he's like, yeah, but I... And she goes, why haven't you killed yourself yet?
And then finally she gets done, and he turns like, I need to go out to my car and get some work there. And then later on, when, like, Jonah's talking to her, and she's like, I go, yeah, you're a little too far.
Yes.
Just a little too far. Oh, and speaking of Jonah, some guy shows up. He's like, did I miss the interview? Yeah, you did. Oh, man, I was playing Fortnite, and I just lost track of time, and da-da-da. Well, here's my resume, and he has all these great stuff on his resume, and so they fire Suhak, and they hire him. And
yep.
The guy's doing great. It's starting out well, and he's like, hey, I got to go pee up right back. And he walks off, and then he's like, we did a great job hiring this guy. Isn't he great? Yeah, he's so great. And in the background, I'm like, he's just peeing on the floor.
Yeah, he's just standing in the middle of the store and peeing on the floor.
You just hear goes, he's peeing on the floor, isn't he? Yeah, yeah, he is.
And then he gets done and shakes it and goes, okay, all right. Goes back to doing what he was doing.
It was a great episode.
It was a great episode.
So the only other thing that we watched, I think, together was Doctor Who.
Yes.
I did watch a couple movies.
I watched some movie-esque things.
I watched 5 movies. I don't know where I found the time to do this. Well, we did have more than a week, that's why.
Yeah. I will also say that I watched Charmed again, and I do still like this show. Something that's interesting I wanted to bring up here.
Yeah.
In this version of Charmed, White Lighters are still people who died.
Yeah.
Harry has said that, you know, he died in 1920, and he has no memory of his life before that. Part of his deal, he says, I don't even know what I did to become a White Lighter.
Huh.
But part of his deal was that the elders raised him as a White Lighter so that he could serve the greater good, but he would lose all memories of his life from before that. But in this version, the elders are not gods. You know how the elders were always up in quote unquote heaven,
yep.
You know? No, the elders are just senior witches. Like, their mother was an elder, and
okay.
We need an elder, and they're just senior witches who are more powerful. You know, they've had more time with their powers, and so I think that's kind of interesting. They also, in one of the 2 episodes that I watched, they did an exorcism on a girl, and the one that they found was Santeria, which is not condoned by the elders. They don't like that kind of stuff, but it was cool because that's an actual kind of
right.
witchcraft.
Right.
You know? I'm still enjoying this show. I'm still liking some of it. It got picked up for a full season as well, so I'll keep watching it. But yeah, I only had one movie and one
movie-esque. Okay, what movie did you watch?
I watched Batman Bad Blood.
What was the movie-esque thing?
Adam Sandler's stand-up special on Netflix.
How was that?
It was actually really good. Did you know he's like 51 or 52 years old?
I saw a clip of it, him singing a song. I can't remember what it was, and I thought it was, that's hilarious. And I went and looked it up, and like, yeah, couldn't believe it.
So a lot of this was clips of him doing just stand-up at different clubs. Sometimes he'd just walk in,
yeah.
And they'd be like, oh my God. But it's different stuff that he's done, and it's just stand-up stuff. It's not his Happy Gilmore, you know. And a lot of it is music. And it reminded me, like, when I was in high school, and David Spade and Chris Farley and Rob Schneider, when they were big in Saturday Night Live, the golden years for me, at least.
For me, the same for me.
Sandler had albums.
Yes.
And I love them.
I have them in the other room.
And you got a lot of that in this, because he'd do stand-up, but then he'd also sing songs. And, dude, some of those songs were fucking hilarious. And he did a lot of them. This thing, it was an hour and a half, 2 hours long. I really enjoyed it. I really liked listening to his humor. I really loved listening to the songs. And, dude, at the end, he did a tribute song to Chris Farley.
Oh, nice.
And it was fucking beautiful. It was so beautiful.
Here's the thing, though. His albums aren't stand-up.
No.
His albums were skits and then songs.
Skits and songs.
Like Tollbooth Willie.
Yep.
I mean, I remember so many
of
those.
Hey, buddy. You want some bloody buddy?
Yeah. Cilantro buddy.
Yeah. And then the songs, you know?
That's Thanksgiving song.
He said in one part of the Chris Farley thing, he basically said, you know, without Chris, we never would have had, like, Lunch Lady Land or stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was great. I strongly recommend, if you liked Adam Sandler at any point,
even if
you think that his more recent stuff has been kind of, watch this. By the end, like, I wasn't crying, but, like, I was feeling very emotional.
Because I probably would be. I'm emotional like that.
The Chris Farley tribute and then what came after that was just
cool.
And I'm not even going to ruin it. Just
watch
the special. It's really good.
I watched a movie on Netflix. I kind of fast-forward watched it. It's called Incoming. It's a space station prison movie. It's garbage.
Okay.
It's a Netflix original. Stay away from it.
Okay.
I watched...
Incoming is now outgoing.
Basically. I watched Malevolent, whatever.
Malevolent.
There we go. Siblings run a fake, like, ghost-busting service. And then, of course, you know, they fleece people out of money.
Is it a comedy or a...
Nope. It is not. Until... Well, the sisters actually has a ghostly run-in.
Yeah.
It's a pretty darn good flick.
Oh.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
It sounds familiar. The name sounds familiar. And I'm not thinking of Maleficent.
Yeah. I watched a comedy-type movie called The Legacy of a White-Tailed Deer Hunter. It's a Netflix original.
Okay.
It stars Josh Brolin as Buck Ferguson. I don't know
I'm sorry. Hold on. Did you see... that at Halloween, Josh Brolin went to an 80s theme party dressed as Brand from the Goonies.
No.
And he even had the stretchy arm thing.
Oh.
Like he had the bandana. He had the sleeveless sweatshirt. Dude, it was so good. Yeah, look it up. 80s theme party, Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin, 80s party. Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing. Love it.
That guy, for someone who disappeared for so many years and then came back like a fucking champ.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah. But,
big fan.
But what did he do after the Goonies? Nothing.
Not for a long time.
It was like three decades before he showed back up. Anyway.
Anyway, so he plays Buck Ferguson, and he's basically a
hundred Ferguson. No,
he's a hunting TV show host. Mm-hmm. And he's got his trusty cameraman, Don, played by Danny McBride.
Nice.
And basically, like,
they go
on hunting, expeditions, going hunting and everything. And that's how he makes his money, makes his living, making hunting videos and getting buck fever and killing deer and everything. Well, his son's 12. Him and his wife are divorced. And so he's trying to reconnect with his son. He wants to take his son on his first ever hunt. So he has all these emotional father-son things planned to happen. Of course, it doesn't go the way you think, and his son's a turd, Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
It's only an hour and a half.
Big hat.
It's only an hour and a half, and it's awesome. I really enjoyed it. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, The Legacy of a White-Tailed Deer Hunter. Quite solid. So, what'd you watch for a movie again? The Batman what?
Batman Bad Blood. Oh, another animated one. It was good. Basically, Batman dies in the beginning, saving Batwoman because she's going off half-cocked. And,
that's what she does.
Yeah, he gets her out of the building and she dies. And then Nightwing comes back to town and takes on the mantle of the Bat so that people still think Batman's around. But, Damian Wayne shows up and he's like, fuck you, you're not Batman, you're not my dad. And Kane also, when they confront her, because, Batman had a file on her, and they're like, oh, that's who she is. Oh, let's go talk to her. And Kate Kane's like, you're not Batman. You're too nice to be Batman. And he's like, well, thanks. But so they basically get the whole Bat family, including Lucius Fox's son, because Lucius dies in this.
Yep.
And they get Lucius Fox's son, who becomes Batwing, which was the name of the jet, but he actually has like a jetpack and he flies around.
Okay.
It's good. It was fun. It's an animated Batman movie, so,
What was that, HBO?
Netflix.
Oh.
Yeah. Or maybe it was Hulu. No, I think it was Netflix.
Okay. I watched Black Klansman.
Oh, I really want to see that.
I loved it.
I've heard it's so good. That one and Sorry to Bother You.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh.
Black Klansman was so good. I didn't realize it's the lead actor, the black guy. It's Denzel Washington's son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I love his voice in it.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's tremendous. And if this, I know it's based on a true story. I know a lot of what happened and it actually happened. Mm-hmm. But there's certain scenes.
David Duke.
Exactly. So in the trailer where you see him calling, he goes like, it's David Duke. This is the Grand High Wizard of the KKK. Yeah, it's him speaking. Who am I speaking to? He's like, well, since you asked. And then he goes, I hate black people. In the movie, he doesn't say black people or Mexicans or Chinese. He uses all the
inappropriate
slurs. And he's not talking to David Duke in that thing. So they did one of those things where they cut it together. But
gotcha.
He's still talking to a guy. And it's pretty hilarious.
The Petrie saw it and they were like, you have to go to the theater and see this.
I couldn't make it that week. See, I don't think it's a have to go see this in the theater movie. But I think it's definitely a must-see movie.
I got to see it.
Great story.
Yep.
Great writing. Just fun. It was really, really good. Mm. It's really, really good.
I really want to see that.
I give this a hard sell.
Sorry to Bother You.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was called. That was the
one,
not phone sex, but like phone salesman. And
yeah.
You're going to use your white voice.
Yeah. This was tremendous.
Awesome.
It really was. A lot of racism in it, of course.
It's kind of the whole theme.
Yeah. But it was very, very, very good. I watched another movie last night that I've been excited about only because of the one person that's in it. I watched Mile 22. Sitting right there on the counter. On the table, I mean.
I suppose you're also going to talk about the one that a little bit?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have time.
Okay.
And it stars Iko. Well, no, it doesn't star, but Iko Uwais is in it. I'm a big fan of his. This is supposed to be his big coming to America, you know, breakthrough film or whatever. And most likely it will be. I mean, he's great.
Oh, okay.
That's what
I thought you were like, this will be the only thing he'll be in.
Oh, no. He was fantastic.
Okay, good.
Like, I feel cheated when stuff like this happens because I've been watching him since, you know, for a decade now, since all the way back to Marantau and then The Raid, Redemption, and then, you know, I mean, sorry, The Raid, and then The Raid, Redemption, and just everything else he's been in. I mean, I talked about him on this show, and, you know, he does, in this movie, he is the, he does all the stunts, all his own fight scenes, like, he choreographs them all. I mean, like, because there's a couple special features I watched and everything. You know, and he's really hands-on with this, and it was actually the director hired him based on the Raid movies.
Mm.
So it's good about this movie. It's only like 85 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's not – or 95 minutes long. It's not a long movie, which was funny because 10 years ago I would complain when movies were like, well, you know, it's only an hour and a half. How good – you know, like
right.
I like two-hour movies. But now it seems like all movies are two and a half hours, and I like the fact that I can watch an hour and a half movie because I can get the whole story in that way. But essentially, I don't want to give it away because I think people need to go watch this. It's a great movie. Great ending. Saw-level ending.
Nice.
You know? A couple steps below, maybe, but still. Like, oh, shit! You know, type of thing. I loved it. I thought it was really, really good.
Thanks.
Yeah. I give it a hard sell. I give it a harder sell than Black Klansman, but for a different reason.
Okay.
Like, if you like action, you know, martial arts action fighting movies and a good story and, you know, a lot of shooting and blowing things up, you'll love this movie.
Cool.
And hopefully this does lead to Ico Uwais being in more bigger budget stuff over here, because I was thinking about it last night. There's really not a lot of guys that have broken into the U.S. market over here from, you know, like you had Jackie Chan for, well, Bruce Lee was, I guess, was the first, maybe. Jackie Chan for a long time and Jet Li, and then, like, you know, they were, people squared them off, compared the two of them because they were kind of about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony Jaa was supposed to be the next big thing.
Yeah, whatever happened to him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and then really no one since then. Like, I know, like, there's a bunch of, like, I like Donnie Yen a lot. He's been in a couple things over here.
I like him.
Same thing with Chow Yun-Fat.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, neither one of them got as huge as, say, like, Jackie Chan or Jet Li did. I think Ico Uwais has the potential to be, like, a real big, like, Asian star over here in the United States.
Thanks.
As long as they keep letting him do his own stunts and fights and everything like he is. But, yeah, Tony Jaa means down to doing, like, B-movies now. So, like, because when he did On Bok, that came out, I mean, that got huge publicity, huge press. It was a fantastic flick. And then he basically did nothing.
Right.
So, I don't know. Doctor Who or news?
No, we could do Doctor Who, because still got news and trailers.
Yeah.
Two episodes of Doctor Who to talk about.
Yeah, we do. We have two episodes to talk about.
The way you just stopped and looked at me like that, I thought you were like, what?
No. We got two.
The first one, and I didn't write down the names of the episodes.
Oh, God. It's the Saranga Conundrum.
Yes. Basically, this is the typical Doctor Who monster episode.
Yes.
You know, a mysterious monster on a spaceship this time.
Yep.
It's a medical transport ship, but they're almost like a mobile hospital, and they're really good at what they do.
Yeah, well, the doctor and crew, the TARDIS team, Team TARDIS, were on an alien planet scavenging parts,
mm-hmm.
and they came across a sonic mine that detonated, and then they wake up apparently several days later on this ship.
Yeah. Sonic mines are very bad, apparently.
Yes, and the doctor is just beside herself because her TARDIS is on a ship, is on a planet that's for, you know, junking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she wants to get back to it. And these guys are like, no, we're taking you to this place.
Yeah.
But they come across this monster, essentially. There's a monster destroying the ship and trying to kill them. But it turns out it's not really trying to kill them. It's
almost a typical Doctor Who monster episode where things are trying to live.
Yeah.
And this is what it does.
It's called a Pating.
Yeah.
And it's this little tiny humanoid-looking cute thing that it's Nibbler from Futurama, if you've ever watched that.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, he eats anything.
To get the
energy out of it.
Yeah.
And so, like, he goes after power sources and warp drives and, you know, anything that has energy in it. He's not he almost seems at first like the gremlin from Twilight Zone, you know, ripping apart the wings, but he's not trying to rip apart the wings.
He's not trying to kill anyone, which is what they think. He's just trying to eat.
Yep. And so they basically, you know, discover that over the course of the episode and jettison him into space because he doesn't need to breathe. He's unstoppable. You know, the old general who's been around for a while says that they encountered one of these a while back. It can't be stopped. You know, they had to basically turn and run away because they just they don't need to breathe. They don't need to sleep. They don't need oxygen. You know, they can survive in the vacuum of space. Their skin's corrosive.
Yes.
So they're like, the general's like, just get away from it.
Yeah.
We need to get rid of it. So they set up a bomb and lure it in because it's very excited about the fact that the bomb's going to go off.
They didn't set up the bomb. The bomb was set off because the ship wasn't answering some sort of message from home base, if you will. Right.
So it was
they were going to blow the ship up. And so the doctor found the bomb underneath the warp drive and then used it as like a mousetrap.
Yep. And the thing went in and ate it and absorbed all the energy of the explosion. And then she
jettisoned to space.
Yep.
Where he's going to be safe and won't have to eat for years.
Right.
But it was a typical...
It's future doctor's problem.
Yeah, it's future. But it was a great episode.
Yeah, but and I'm not saying typical isn't bad. I'm saying it was a typical, you know, like the werewolf one with David Tennant, you know?
Yes.
It's a monster. Monster of the Week episode, literally.
You know, it's them on... I love this show.
I do too.
I mean, I enjoyed last season, Peter Capaldi, immensely.
Mm.
But this season, I'm just loving it. Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor is tremendous.
She is
absolutely tremendous.
Yep.
If anyone's complaining that the Doctor's a woman and this and that and everything, and then I have a feeling after this most recent episode, I haven't seen anything yet, which surprises me, but I'm expecting it. Where, you know, because in this most recent episode, the Demons of Punjab, essentially... Yaz talks, after talking to her grandmother, Umbri,
which was like a, before she met the Doctor, the way I understood it. It seemed like a flashback.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was a flashback, too.
Maybe, yeah. But basically, like, she doesn't know anything about her grandfather who died, who was a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And so...
But her grandmother brags about the fact she was the first woman to be married in Pakistan.
Yes, the first woman to ever be married in Pakistan, and on and on and on. And so she's like, can we go back to that time to see, you know, back to 1947 and see them, and meet them or whatever. And so the doctor's like, what's the good of having a mate with a time machine if you can't take advantage of it? So very reluctantly, the doctor agrees.
Well, because the doctor also said, you know, you're interfering in your own timeline.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be very careful because you could say the wrong thing and blink yourself out of existence.
Yeah. And so the doctor takes the watch that her grandmother gave her. Which was special to her, but she wouldn't tell the story about it.
It was broken.
Yeah, but it was
never be fixed.
Yes.
She was told never get it fixed.
And they put it on this, like, device in the TARDIS, which they can use that to, the TARDIS use that to go back in time. Mm-hmm. So they go back in time, and they're in India.
Mm-hmm.
And the long and the short of it, I'd never heard of this, but this is the date of the partitioning of India. Where Pakistan was made from India.
Created, yep.
Yeah, which I had never heard of that.
Because
if
basically,
I did, I don't remember it.
Yeah, basically they wanted to give the Muslims a place to go because they wanted India to be reserved for the Hindu.
Yeah.
And Pakistan could be a place for the Muslims to go and be away from the Hindu. They didn't want their two religions mixing.
Right. Which, anyways. So where they drew the line is where... Because when they get there, Umbri's going to marry a guy who's not Yaz's grandfather, who's
rather Hindu. Charming and handsome.
And he's a Hindu, not a Muslim.
Right.
And, so we find out that they're actually in, when the land partitions, now Yaz's family is in Pakistan, but her husband is in India now. But they're neighbors, and they live next to each other, and they have their whole lives, and they've worked the fields together their whole lives. But, like, her fiancé, Umbri's fiancé, his brother is, like, radical Muslim already.
Yes.
As far as, like, you know, this is how things are now. This is the way they need to be. We're Muslim. You're Hindu. We should be associated with each other. I didn't work these fields or do anything to you or help you
or your families, like we've always done. I did this for my brothers and my family, one who didn't come back, and one who I wish hadn't come back.
Yep.
Because Umbri's fiance had fought in the war, and as did their older brother, and the older brother got killed.
Yep.
And now baby brother's upset about it, but also baby brother's like, no, a Hindu shouldn't be marrying a Muslim. It's an atrocity.
Yep.
And so this was a typical Doctor Who, not social justice, but...
history lesson and...
Well, it is a history lesson and it is a social commentary on how people should treat each other and, and racism and everything like that. And also in this episode, she makes mention of being of how she just became a woman, and I didn't really do anything like this when I was a man.
Right.
And she makes some joke about like, oh, you know, I'm just being, you know, anything I say about, you know, transitioning from regenerating from a man to a woman, it's just me. I'm just a comedian. I didn't mean anything by blah, blah, blah. She kind of, so I'm waiting for now people to go up in arms and say, well, the doctor's transgender or something like that.
Right.
Which that's no, the doctor is the doctor.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. But again, this was had a big social commentary on it, and it gave us a history lesson.
And Yaz was very upset because, you know, at first she was upset because she's like, she can't marry this guy. This is my grandfather.
Right.
But as they got to know him, you know, he's a cool guy.
Yeah.
And we find out, like, there was this holy man on the road, and the holy man was killed.
And he was supposed to marry them.
Yes.
Yes.
And the doctor sees these two aliens, and
I can't pronounce it. It's like the Tajaran or something like that.
And they warp out. You know, they just, and turns out they're using temporal displacement pods that, you know, let them warp in and out and keep people away from their ship. And she's like, these creatures evolved to be the universe's most perfect assassins. If they're here, they're trying to kill people. And then they see like a little hologram of the fiance. But Prem
had seen them before because the doctor's like, why weren't you surprised when you saw them?
Right.
And he's like, well, I saw them before at the Battle of Singapore.
Yep.
Like, they killed my brother.
Yep. And he ran away because he saw them and they disappeared. When the doctor finally gets her hands on them and basically says, you know, you can't kill people. They're like, we don't.
Yeah.
You know, we basically evolved to be assassins. And then we found out that our planet got destroyed and everyone forgot about us.
Yeah.
So we are the last of our kind, and we wander the universe, and we go to battles and wars where people are forgotten, and we remember them, and we pack away their genetic information.
They basically don't let people die alone.
Right, right. They're there so that these people will always be remembered somehow. So they've become this entirely noble creature, which, again, is a social commentary.
Yep.
You know, something that is known throughout the universe as an assassin and...
is a terrible people, but actually they're good people now.
Mm-hmm. Which could be said for, you know, the a lot of people look at Muslims as terrorists, and yet,
yep,
they're very spiritual.
So Umbri and Prem marry.
Yep.
The doctor performs the ceremony.
Yep.
They do both Muslim and Hindu traditions during the ceremony,
which was cool to see.
Yep. Yep. we find out later that Prem's brother is the one who killed the original doctor, the original
holy man.
Holy man. And we also find out that Prim's brother is bringing a bunch of soldiers or men with him to, you know, get these Hindus off our land.
Yep.
And because now they're in Pakistan, and that's why she was the first woman married to Pakistan, but just wasn't to Yaz's grandfather; it was to somebody else.
Right.
And again, they all get to know Prim and like Prim. And then again, it's this typical Doctor Who where it's like, we can't stop them from killing him. We can't change things. If we do, Yaz, you'll have never existed, and we need you around.
And the Doctor has seen how he is going to die.
You know, yes.
The aliens show him, show her how Prim is going to die. And she's like, oh, God. But basically, you know, as you pretty much see, you see it coming a mile away, his brother and those men line up, and Prem goes out there to stop them. And he's like, you know, you can't do this. You can't kill my wife. You can't kill her family. And he gets killed by his brother.
Well, he's talking to a guy pointing a gun at him.
It may have been that.
Well, no, but what I mean is he even says to him is like, we fought on the bat. We fought.
Oh, yeah.
In the war together. Like, we just came home from the war together. We fought side by side.
We were side by side.
I know you. Now you're, pointing a gun at me just because of who I married.
Yep.
Again, more social commentary, but it was done so well.
Oh, yeah.
It was a fantastic episode.
It was. And from that point on, Yaz's grandmother had to be on the run.
Yeah.
For years and years and years, they ran until they settled in Sheffield.
And the reason why initially they settled in Sheffield is because her...
grandmother.
Yeah, her grandmother's dad, so her great-grandfather, if you will, brought home a map. And on the map, it was... She saw the town of Sheffield, and she just liked the name. And
she thought it was mystical.
Yes, yes. And I love Sheffield. It definitely was not what I thought it was.
Yep.
But I love it. I love living here, so... But again, it was a fantastic episode. Tremendous episode.
And the thing is, I wanted to know if her grandmother recognized Yaz.
I was curious about that as well.
She goes back to visit her in the end.
And we don't. And she's like, do you want to hear the story of the watch? No, not right now.
Yeah.
So.
But in the beginning, when we got the flashback of, you know, grandmother was giving gifts away.
Yeah.
And she said to Yaz, my favorite granddaughter. And the other, Yaz's sister was like, hey, and she's like, it's true. And I thought they were going to have a twist where they came back around and she was like, you know, where grandma was like, now you understand why the watch can never be fixed.
Yep.
Favorite granddaughter, you know, alluding to the fact that she.
Oh, that's right. Because she called her favorite granddaughter earlier. So,
yeah. I was hoping for that, but.
Excuse me.
By the way, speaking of Doctor Who, they've announced, and it's been all over the internet, they're not going to have a Christmas episode this year.
What?
They're going to have a New Year's episode.
Okay.
So, basically, this season will end before Christmas.
Yep.
And then instead of coming back for a one-shot on Christmas, it'll be a one-shot on New Year's. So,
as long as they're having a special.
See, that's what I say. Some people are losing their mind. Oh, you can't break tradition. Since it came back in 2005, you've always had a Christmas episode. When it was on. I mean, there were a few years there where it wasn't on.
Yep.
But, yeah, let's calm down, people. They've already broken tradition by having a new showrunner, by having a female doctor, by going back to having three different companions.
Three companions, yeah.
Let's cut them some slack here.
Also, you know what? I have no qualms with how anything's going this season.
Me either.
Not yet, at least.
So, anybody on Doctor Who who's listening, you've at least got our seal of approval.
Oh, yeah, I love
it. Do New Year's.
I love it. Trailers?
Yeah.
All right, I got a couple trailers.
I have a ton of them.
Trailer called The Public. First of all, written and directed by Emilio Estevez, who was apparently alive.
Emilio!
I'm not going to get into great detail about it. I'm not even saying it looked that great. I was just like, he's doing a movie? He stars in the movie. And it's basically about a public library that the guy, Emilio Estevez's character, kind of like manages it or runs it or he works there or whatever. And he decides to help leave it open because the homeless people have no place to sleep in the city and they're freezing to death at night. And somehow a police standoff starts with it all. Anyways, I watched another trailer called The Clove Hitch Killer.
Oh, I haven't watched that trailer yet, but I heard about it.
Stars Dylan McDermott.
Yep.
And basically, I don't know if it takes place in the 70s or 60s or maybe even current times. I don't know. But basically, this kid, Charlie Plummer, his kid thinks he's a serial killer. He's been killing people over the last 10 years, and they always leave this clove hitch knot behind as is like his signature.
Hmm.
And, yeah, looks good. Looks really good.
Cool.
And then the only other trailer I watched was the one that you sent me for.
I sent you two, actually.
Oh, you did?
Mm. Well, no, one of them was like a while ago.
Oh, what was that one?
That one was Isn't It Romantic? The one with Rebel Wilson.
Oh my God, that looks fantastic.
It's basically a rom-com.
Yes.
She's stuck inside a rom-com.
Yeah, like she somehow wakes up and she's in a rom-com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, you know, she wakes up in bed and there's a guy and he's like,
oh my God, that's the best part.
She's like, but we didn't actually do anything.
Yeah.
And she goes to jump him and all of a sudden the sun goes down.
And she wakes up in bed again. I'm in a PG-13 rom-com.
It looks really funny. So she's Rebel Wilson, who's funny as hell anyway, stuck in a rom-com.
Yep.
You sent me the trailer for Deadly Class, the second trailer for Deadly Class.
I thought we'd already talked about it, though.
Yeah, well, this was the second trailer for it.
Okay.
And it still looks awesome.
Yeah, I think the second trailer looks better than the first.
Because we got more, like the detention. Yep. And, but yeah, the one that I sent you, Cam.
It's the Blumhouse. So
comes out tomorrow on Netflix.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
November
that.
16th.
Oh, you know what else comes out tomorrow on Netflix? Was it the Ballad of...
Scruggs there?
Yeah, it's the Scruggs one, yeah.
Yep.
Buster Scruggs.
Yes. You know what came out earlier this week? She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Oh.
She-Ra and the Princesses of Power.
Did you watch any of it?
I have not watched it.
I don't know if I want to.
I'm about 4 episodes into Sabrina, by the way. And it's good.
Okay.
But I'll give more on that later when I've got a bit more under my belt. So Cam is a Netflix horror movie from Blumhouse. And honestly, if any of those things just appeal to you, go watch the trailer or watch it when it comes out tomorrow. I don't think we could do it justice by trying to describe
it. No, I don't think we could either. It's a cam girl. So it's a girl who flaunts, does stuff on the internet with a web page, yep, or with a webcam, I mean. And there's a twist in it that I was just like, ooh, oh, oh.
But, and then there was another twist, and it's like, yeah. Whoa. And then there was a third twist, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it looks great. I didn't realize that comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I saw a trailer, and I don't care to watch this movie. It's a teen drama romance about hiking. The only reason that I watched it was because the title of the movie is Maine.
Do they hike Acadia?
Yes.
You can hike Acadia.
Yeah.
You can't climb Acadia.
Well, they do a lot of hiking. And,
it's called Maine?
Maine, as in the state of Maine. And it was at Sundance Film Festival this week. Saw a trailer for a movie called Zoo. It was tough finding, like, when I typed in Maine trailer.
Yeah.
I was getting, like, Maine trailer inspections and stuff like that. That doesn't work for me. I was looking for the trailer for the movie Maine. But Zoo.
Okay.
Seems to be a zombie movie, but most of it takes place in an apartment because this man and woman decide they're going to prepare for the zombie apocalypse by, you know, getting out all the weapons that they have, like knives and hammers and stuff, and training regularly for when the zombies appear. Because the zombies are taking over the world. You know, it is happening, but they're safe inside their apartment. And then one day, they get a knock on the door. Oh, and they've got plenty of supplies, food, water, and lots of drugs.
Okay.
Lots of drugs, all different kinds of drugs, cocaine, heroin, meth, everything. So then they get a knock on the door, and it's this other couple. And they're like, could you please let us in? So they let them in, and now both couples want to kill the other couple because they don't want to share supplies, and they're getting conspiracy-ish and thinking that they're trying to take each other out. It looks very cool. You should check out the trailer for this, for Zoo.
Okay.
There's a Netflix series coming out on January 25th. It's called Kingdom. And it seems to take place in feudal Japan.
Oh.
The emperor has just died, but then he comes back to life, apparently.
I did see that. Look, that looks very good.
It does look very good. I saw one for a movie called Captive State. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an alien movie. I don't know if it's a monster movie. But they've had 2 trailers so far, and I don't know what it is. Which is interesting to me. I don't know if I'll like it or not. But.
Right.
okay. There's a movie coming out on Netflix soon called Dumplin'. It's got Jennifer Aniston as the woman in town who hosts all the pageants. She's a former beauty queen. She's very popular in the town. Her daughter is a rather heavyset girl, 17, 18 years old. Rather heavyset girl. Doesn't look like her mom at all.
Yeah,
it's Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
But her daughter is tired of being picked on and ripped on, so she decides to enter the pageant because there's no rule against heavyset girls. Well, right. All of a sudden, this other girl in school who's heavyset wants to enter, and the girl's like, no, I'm not going to be the Joan of Arcadia of fat kids.
You know? Right.
But then, like, the ugly goth girl wants to enter. And so it's this whole thing of beauty versus, you know, weight or body issues and stuff like that. So it looks interesting.
So it's a series or a movie?
Movie.
Okay.
Dumplin', because that's what her mom calls her.
Okay.
They had 2 trailers come out back-to-back for Toy Story 4.
Oh, I watched one of those, actually.
But did you watch the one where they were doing the Ring Around the Rosie thing to I Can't See Me Loving Nobody But You?
No, I watched the one where Key and Peele's characters are introduced.
Which was the best one.
But you don't learn anything about the movie.
No. Well, it was based on that first one that came out, which is just seeing like this slow motion of like a big Ring Around the Rosie of the different characters, you know, and it's, I can't see me loving nobody. And it like goes very slowly until you come across this one character who is basically a fork, a plastic spork
yeah.
with like, pipe cleaner arms and like a face drawn on, and suddenly he goes, "What are you doing? I'm not a toy." And then suddenly all the characters start crashing into each other, and then it says, you know, Toy Story coming. And then the next day they released the Key and Peele one.
I saw that one.
Ducky and Rabbit. That made me laugh so hard because and Buzz Lightyear's, oh my god. And they kept getting his, you know,
into infinity and beyond wrong. And then at the end he goes, "It's to infinity and beyond." You can't go to infinity and beyond. You can't even get to infinity. That's just stupid.
It was great.
But it was funny because when Woody and Buzz came on the screen, they looked like they were tiny.
Yeah.
Like they were 3 3/4 inch action figures, and these guys were, you know, like normal size.
Well, they were fair prizes.
Oh, so they're just the oversized fair prizes.
Yeah.
Huh, that makes more sense now.
And then I watched the preview, and I'm still not sure how I feel about this, for Detective Pikachu.
I saw that the trailer existed, and I just said, fuck that garbage, and moved on.
No, you should check it out, because Ryan Reynolds is the voice of Pikachu. And I don't know. You're not going to like it. You're not going to watch it. I will probably watch it. Probably not in theaters.
I hope not.
You
can take Kanan. You guys can go together.
Interesting. Yeah, that won't be creepy at all. I'm his uncle, but I'm not really his uncle.
No one will know.
So, yeah, I watched that. That's all I need to say about that.
I got a bunch of news things to talk about real
quick. Me too.
I'll start with Travelers Season 3, December 14th.
I've got to catch up on that. I've got to finish watching the second season.
I forgot you hadn't finished watching it.
Right. Because I remember that you told me the one thing that I took away was that you loved the second season up until the last 10 minutes. And then you said, what the fuck? Fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, season 3.
Good.
December 14th.
Good. I'm so excited because I love that show. Now I got to watch it.
Child's Play.
Reboot
coming out June the 21st, 2019.
Poster looks interesting.
Do you notice on the poster that he's not a good guy doll anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called Buddy with an I.
Mm.
And I don't know how this is. Aubrey Plaza is playing Andy's mom.
She's too young to be a mom.
Unless
this is one of those like
teen pregnancy.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
But
she
anyways,
does look like a teen pregnancy.
And then I saw the image. Have you seen the first image of Chucky?
No.
Effeminate looking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think that Buddy with the I is because it's like iPhone, iPad?
It was based on the My Buddy dolls.
Right.
So,
okay.
But yeah, instead of being a good guy doll. But it looks, I guess the good guy doll. And here's the other thing that really kind of like, Brad Dourif is not the voice of Chucky in this.
Oh, that's terrible.
And he's been the voice of Chucky since the first movie to the one they just did last year. Which the one they did last year sucked, but the one they did a couple years ago was the second to last one I actually enjoyed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then the original like creator and all that jazz is not involved with this at all either. So I don't know. I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'll go to the theaters and watch it.
Correct.
I'll watch it though.
Yep.
Game of Thrones, April 2019, 6 episodes, mm-hmm. all of them about 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be longer than the hour.
Yep.
That's going to finish the series off.
It is.
So what else you got?
Once Upon a Deadpool.
Okay.
Is PG-13. It's going to run for 12 days from December 12th through December 24th.
All right.
It's recut to be friendlier to kids. They specifically want kids to be able to go see this.
I don't know if I like this. The original Deadpool or Deadpool 2?
Deadpool 2.
Okay.
It will feature a narrative device featuring Fred Savage, and $1 of every ticket will be donated to Fuck Cancer, which for this event will be renamed to Fudge Cancer. Apparently, Ryan Reynolds said that he had two stipulations if they wanted to do a PG-13 Deadpool.
Yeah.
One of them was that they donate some money to cancer, and the other one was that he got to kidnap Fred Savage. So they've been playing this whole angle that Fred Savage has been kidnapped for this. So I think what it is, honestly, is they're dipping their toes.
Fucking Disney.
Exactly. They're trying to see if they can get away with it because Disney does not want to have any R-rated stuff. And it's too bad because you can do both.
Yeah. Clearly, our R-rated Deadpool has proven it works.
Yeah.
Two movies have proven that it works.
Mm-hmm. I read about Dollface. It's a new Hulu show that's coming, starring Kat Dennings, who I like Kat Dennings.
I like Kat Dennings, even if I didn't enjoy the last few seasons of
Two Broke Girls.
Two Broke Girls, yeah.
I think it's two guys and a girl in a pizza place.
It follows a young woman who, after being dumped by her longtime boyfriend, must deal with her own imagination in order to literally and metaphorically re-enter the world of women and rekindle the female friendship she left behind.
That doesn't sound interesting.
Well, it sounds like there's a fantasy twist on it, because she has to deal with her imagination. So I'm wondering if there's going to be like some kind of spin on that, like an imaginary friend or something. So, that's going to be on Hulu at some point.
Oh, hey, the Good Cop was canceled.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Reverie was also canceled. No surprise there.
Reverie was?
Yep.
How was that about again?
That was the one where she entered into their memories.
That's or right. Yeah.
Their dreams.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, Charmed and The Rookie both got full season orders.
A bunch of Star Wars news, I guess.
Mm.
The Mandalorian, was it Pedro Pascal's star?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Loved him in the second Kingsman movie.
Yeah, that was yeah, he was really good in that. And now they're going to do a second Star Wars series.
Oh?
You didn't hear this?
No, I didn't hear this.
Seriously?
I don't think that I did.
Okay, they're doing a second Star Wars series now on the Disney streaming, and this is a prequel to Rogue One starring was it Cassian Andor.
Oh, and well,
and
of all the characters,
Diego Luna is going to reprise his character, the role.
I would have rather have seen Chirrut Imwe.
Yep.
You know, I would have liked to have seen the Blind Swordsman, but okay,
Donnie Yen.
Yeah.
I think this will be interesting. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah,
of course I'm going to watch it. Here's my thing. I'd like they haven't released what the price point for this Disney streaming is going to be. They haven't released if it's going to be like.
I think they said that it's going to be cheaper than Netflix.
That was the only thing they've said, but Netflix is going up again.
Right.
We have the Disney Now app as it is, and we don't pay for that. But like my kid watches Zoom Zooms and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and shit like that on it. So like, I want to know, is it going to encompass all that still? Am I going to start paying money now? I'm going to have full access to those things, mm-hmm. or is this going to be separate from all that?
Right.
Are they going to Disney Junior's this and Disney Channel's this and this is, or is it going to be the Disney streaming app is going to have all that Disney Channel and Disney Junior content? Because that would make me pay for it. Because like we've talked about this before, and it's, you're walking a very fine line between nickel and diming yourself to death when you don't have cable.
Mm-hmm.
And I have yet to break down to buy the CBS All Access so I can watch the new Star Trek series.
But it's going to have the new Twilight Zone.
And I'm going to have to break down to do it for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the new Patrick Stewart Star Trek series. So once all those are on there in its entirety, I'll get a month, I'll burn through them, I'll cancel it. Also, what was the other one? The other streaming service besides the Disney one that's coming out, the CBS one. Crap, there's another one. There's another one streaming service that's going to have an original show on it. I'm trying to think of what. Oh, I haven't broken down and gotten the DC universe yet.
Oh, yeah.
With Titans and all that. But I'm interested to see how Swamp Thing is. That comes out this summer.
Oh, they keep throwing names at that.
I know.
They've added more and more names to that.
So that's another one. So it's like, all right, so I don't want to nickel and dime myself to the point where it's like it's cheaper to have cable. But the problem is, or not the problem, but the thing is, sorry, like the CBS All Access app, the DC Universe app, the Disney Channel app.
You can't get those.
You can't get those on cable. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least you can get a month, watch them cancel.
Right.
Like that's kind of what I do now. Like I just got a month of Demand Progress because I wanted to watch the Wembley show. It was like $7.99 for the month. So I'm watching other stuff on it now. And I'll cancel before the month's out. And then, like, maybe in a couple months, I'll get a month of the High Spots Network. And I'll watch a bunch of wrestling stuff there. That you know what I mean? Like, I've been doing that here and there. I don't get them every single month. Like, I do WWE Network and New Japan World.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah. The Mandalorian.
Yes.
We're talking about, like you said, Pedro Pascal is the lead. It says that it's set after the fall of the Empire.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian will follow the rise of the First Order, which is cool.
Yeah.
The show will tell the story of a lone gunslinger on the galaxy's fringes as he lives a rogue life away from the New Republic. They just added Gina Carano to it as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let me think about it. We're getting two Star Wars series. One takes place between episode 6 and 7, right? Mm-hmm. And the other one's prequel, but takes place between 3 and 4, but no, prior to between 3 and Rogue One, basically. Right.
So, and if it's anything like Rogue One,
yeah,
you know, Rogue One was so good.
It sure was. The California wildfire that's been just absolutely devastating. Yeah. One of the things that was lost, and I know people lost houses and stuff like that. It's terrible. It's tragic. But in amongst that, also, they mentioned that the Paramount Ranch was lost.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is...
I didn't know that.
They had a lot of stuff there. Plus, that's one of the sets of Westwood.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that also, the whole entire town of Paradise, California is basically gone.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're evacuating wildlife. They're evacuating zoos. And yeah.
Yeah. I watched this one video of this mother and daughter who kept going back into the fire to rescue horses.
Mm-hmm.
And they ended up pulling out 48 in total. But the last trip out was, like, the video was so sketchy of how they were driving through, like, zero visibility flames and smoke. And, yeah, daughter was kind of freaking out. But they managed to rescue 48 horses. So it's crazy.
It's crazy.
And this all happens, like, this is not a snare of, like, you knew it was coming. You knew it was happening. You chose not to evacuate.
Well, unless you're Donald Trump, you know. Right. And could have all prevented this if you had just managed your money better.
Anyway. Yeah, right. This happened so fast.
Oh, yeah. It was overnight.
Literally.
I
got Deadwood film
news. Yes.
So production's already started. It's going to take place 10 years after the end of the series. Okay. Featuring,
never watched
the
series.
I did. I loved it. Featuring the celebration of South Dakota statehood. We get Ian McShane returning as Al Swearinger. Timothy Oliphant returning as Seth Bullock. And then we have a bunch of other people returning, like Paula Malcolmson as Trixie, and then Molly Parker's back, and John Hawks, and Anna Gunn, and Dayton Callie, and Brad Dourif, and Robin Weigert's back as Calamity Jane, and Joe McCraney's back. So there's a lot of people returning, and again, it takes place 10 years later, so I don't know anything with the storyline other than it takes place during the statehood.
Thanks.
Of South Dakota. That's all my news.
Jeremy Irons has been cast as the older Ozymandias in the new Watchmen series that HBO is coming out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's going to take place, obviously, after the first one. And, yeah, he'll be the older Ozymandias, which, that sounds cool.
Yes, it does.
This is very interesting. I think this is my last bit of news. Shrek is being reborn or rebooted or something. Shrek was part of DreamWorks.
Yep.
Now being taken over by Illumination Entertainment, which is what gave us the Minions.
Okay, you know, I'm trying to think of it.
Despicable Me stuff.
Despicable Me, yep.
Yeah, so Illumination is taking over. In addition, Illumination is also working on a Super Mario Brothers animated movie.
Hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see. I don't know why they're taking over Shrek, but I believe they're trying to get the original voices.
Okay.
Which would be nice.
Yes, it would be.
I think that's about it for me. Except I will say this. I actually made a note in here. I'm sorry. There was one other piece of news.
Okay.
Stan Lee passed away this week.
Yeah, I wanted to finish off with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the thing I was going to finish off with. It's sad.
It is.
At the same time, he was 95.
He was 95.
He had
He was almost 96.
Hell of a life.
Yep.
Yes.
He would have turned 96 next month.
Yeah. Hell of a life.
Hell of a life.
You know?
Left a huge legacy.
Oh,
left
God.
A great big mark on the world. It's hard to say, that, like, I haven't heard anybody saying he was taken too soon or, you know, he should have still been on this earth. I think that it was time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, unfortunately, again, it's sad, but he was old and had a hell of a life.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, if you think about it this way, for as old as he was, exceptionally fortunate that he still had his faculties about him, if you will.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, he was still with it. He was still there, at least from from our perspective as the general public, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, he brought us so much stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He educated us all. He entertained us all. He taught us life lessons.
He taught us the word Excelsior.
And I don't think anyone can thank him enough for everything he's done.
Nope.
You know, and like he always had that kind of like that grandfatherly advice, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. It's sad, but at the same time, what a life.
What a life.
What a life, you know? Yeah. I watched the video of all his clips from the cameos? Different things he's made, all his cameos and different things like that. And I
did just, they have the Mallrats one in there?
No. Oh. Of just the Marvel movies.
Okay.
And they had, you know, like, are you Tony Stank? Yes. This is Tony Stank. And thank you for that. I love that one. And then you know, really, it's not going to be his last, because I've already heard that he's filmed his cameo for Ms. Marvel and the next Avengers.
Yep.
I read someone said, like, he should be digitally imposed in every single movie. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
Keep it alive.
Yep.
Just have him in the background drinking coffee or whatever. But the clip I saw.
What was it in Deadpool 2 when he was just the mural on the wall?
Yes.
Yep.
But, like, it would work only because of the scene from Guardians of the Galaxy 2 where he's talking to the Watchers.
Yes.
That was so tremendous. Mm-hmm. And they're walking. And here's the thing, like, it's almost like this is the capsule of his life, if you will, as he's sitting there on the asteroid and the Watchers are walking away. And he's like, hey, wait, don't leave. I got more stories to tell. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Perfect.
Yeah, basically.
Well, there. I think that's a podcast.
I think that is a podcast.
Plus, I have to go home and go to bed.
Yeah. Sorry, dude.
No, it's good.
On the Twitter, I'm at SuperstarMel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And, thanks.
Talk to you next week.